Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the third day of November, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is November 3rd update and open forum. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Kumru Ambith. Callers are welcome at any time. This is a platform for all of Jacob Israel, and please use it as such. And reminder that we are in the question and answer mode, which means everybody is automatically muted upon entering the chat until such time as I unmute them to give their report or to ask their question or make a comment. The website where we keep the schedule, daily news, archives of past programs, health information, lock and load, which is information on weapons and ammunition, any good articles about do-it-yourself type information that would be a benefit to you for your defense of your home, those are all on the website. And the website, of course, is www.pastordan.net. And again, that's all together, no spaces, PastorDan.net. We're going to get into some of the hot topics here today, especially being as this is November 3rd, and there's lots of rumors flying around that November 3rd, here before the day is out, could be quite instrumental in this world. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But for Israelites, every day is pretty much the same anyway. So we're going to cover that and some of the other things going on, as well as Romans 13, which we all know because of the lies of the Judeo-Christian churches, which are playing churchianity instead of real truth. They've got everybody thinking Romans 13 requires us to obey these things called government. Well, the truth be told, no, it's not what it's telling you. In fact, Pastor Chuck Baldwin and his son, who is a constitutional attorney, both work together to write a book on Romans 13, a whole book on just that chapter, and go into great detail about the fact that Romans 13 has nothing to do with blind obedience to government. In fact, it's just the opposite. If anything, it is a condemnation of the kakistocracies that we find ourselves lording over us, and it's very clear in the book of Romans that we are not to give allegiance to ungodly authorities. In fact, just the opposite. The reason we have ungodly authorities is because we, the righteous, the true sons and daughters of Yahweh, are not holding these public servants accountable. That's beginning to change. And that's what the good news is for this November 3rd. No matter what happens for the rest of the day, the good news is the tide is turning. And I know, especially for you folks that have been faithful followers and listeners and supporters for all these many years that we've been on the radio, it's been frustrating. I'm going to tell you, it's been frustrating. It feels like the ant trying to push a small boulder up a hill at times. It seems like our work is just almost inconsequential, like the little Dutch boy with his finger in the hole in the dike, you know, and more holes are popping out, and pretty soon he's running out of fingers. And yet the water is still pouring forth. Well, the propaganda of the enemy has been such that it has kept people completely deceived, under a strong delusion. Do those words sound familiar to you? Yeah, they're in the scriptures. So the people have been under this strong delusion because the enemy, the Antichrist Jews, have had a dictatorial control over media, press, publishing houses, many of the people in Congress. Today, I would say nearly 100%, even in the upper levels of the military and intelligence agencies, they've had a very, very profound influence, if not dictatorial control. And because of that, they're able to perpetrate lies and misinformation. And the sheep were actually being misled by their so-called pastors or so-called preachers who are supposed to lead the sheep into knowledge and truth and protect them. That's what that's where the word pastor comes from, by the way. It's another term for a shepherd. And anybody that knows anything about raising sheep, the job of the shepherd is to what? Go read Psalm 23. The job of the shepherd is to protect the sheep. That's why he carries that staff with the hook in it. It's not for decoration. It's a walking stick, yes, but it's also a club to beat wolves and foxes and other predators away from the sheep. The hook is for when the sheep go down into a ditch or gully that he can reach in there and put it around their waist if they're small enough, and their neck if they're bigger, and help coax them up out of the ditch. What are the preachers doing for the flock today? Leading them into the ditch. Using the club to beat them over the head if they dare challenge Jewish control, if they dare challenge the Holocaust lie. If you dare challenge anything a Jew says. So quite the opposite. Quite the opposite. Okay, we got a caller already. We're going to take a call then. Well, we'll go ahead and resume. Let's see here. Randy, can you hear me?
Good morning. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. How you doing, buddy?
Man, your topic is spot on for what I'm working on right now. You know, as people know, I'm starting to go more and more public with trying to hold our government accountable. Of course, I'm not being naive because, you know, but what I'm trying to say here is we have to hold them accountable. I'm attempting to do that through a public forum, so I'm being transparent in the public eye as to, like, hey, here's what I see, what's going on. Here's what I'm doing about it, showing people the actual documentation. So it's kind of like a twofold approach. It's not just about my podcast that I do is not just about what I do, but it's what I do, but also encouraging other people to do the same thing in their community. So right now we have the evidence of the sheriff of Midland County, who last year was convicted of a DUI, tried to use his badge and his authority to get out of trouble. Now it's been revealed that he used his police cruiser for commercial advertising. Some people might think that's a petty issue. The problem is if the county was to ever end up in some other company was to approach the sheriff for the county and they get turned away, they could say, well, the sheriff allowed this other company to advertise. Why? You know, they could claim they're being discriminated against. But guess who's the one that has to suffer when that happens, brothers and sisters? It's the American taxpayer. That's why I take the approach of no matter how small the issue may be, when they mess up, we hold them to the fire. So oh. I've recently podcasted about what I'm doing, but just as of yesterday, I faxed a formal request for a formal investigation against the sheriff of Midland County, Michigan, for using his police cruiser in commercial advertising. It has been faxed.
Oh, well, praise Yahweh. Well, you're being an activist. You know, the scripture says when the righteous stand firm, the wicked flee. The problem righteous haven't stood firm.
Others. Yeah, right. It's an educational thing, but it's also trying to encourage other people to do the same thing. I mean, it's not right. Like just don't let Pastor Dan do all the work or having Randy do all the work. No, no, no. Together, we are an unstoppable force. It takes all of us.
Amen. In fact, on my note sheet here, I've got underscored teamwork as something to cover today, and that's exactly what you're talking about. When I was a boy, the saying used to be, many hands make light work. If everybody chips in a little bit, a great deal can be done, and it's no great sacrifice. No one person is giving up all of their money, time, efforts, etc. It's a little bit from all of us. And as a cumulative work, it has a great effect.
Absolutely. You know, for a lot of years, Pastor Dan, I would do a lot of things trying to hold people accountable, but not always being so public about it. And that's my main reason for trying to shift that tactic. That way, we got to be transparent with the people and what we're trying to do, because, you know, when we try to fight these battles, man, they can wear you down. So, I'm trying to take that more public type approach. That way it'll bring other people along with us and try to get them involved.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We need all the help we can get.
Yeah, amen.
This is a mess we're dealing with. Like what you talked about at the beginning of the show, the reason why we're in this mess is because for many years we weren't doing nothing about it. So I look at it like we're talking about it here. I talk about it on my podcast, but we take it further than that into direct political activism. I mean, the founding fathers. I mean, if you read the Declaration, they even admit they petitioned. Even though, like, nothing was going their way, they still continue to petition the king. They were trying to do things peacefully. But, of course, when the fight finally got brought to them and the shot was fired, well, then they responded. But in the meantime, instead of just waiting for the fight, we don't want to have the war. We're trying to stop it. We're trying to change things. If the war comes, the war comes. But until then, let's do something to try to stop this. We're much more powerful than we realize, brothers and sisters. If we're just going to sit around and say, well, we're just going to wait for the war, I think that's the wrong approach. We can be prepared for battle and try to stop these people at the same time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, trying to stop them kind of prepares you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because the more you do this, I reassure you, brothers and sisters, you will see how dirty they are. And let me tell you, man, that's really hardened my heart over the years, the way through the court system and all the shenanigans that I've seen them do throughout the years. I tell you, man, it's made me stronger to want to go after them even harder now.
Oh, yeah, amen, amen. Well, my wake-up call many years ago was very similar to what you're saying, is when the powers that be came after an innocent person that I knew personally, and I had knowledge of the fact that this person was completely innocent. And it was an eye-opener. It was an epiphany of just how far we had gone into the ditch, how corrupt these people are. You're 100% right.
And then we compared that to when they mess up, how they're treated so differently.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Crazy, isn't it?
It's going to be one heck of a ride, I'll tell you, man. I've got so much information that I'm waiting for key things to come before I start, publishing. This is kind of like a slow rollout of stuff that I've been working on that I'm starting to go after these people on. Boy, it's going to be one heck of a journey to see what happens. If these people get all hauled off to jail, hey, hallelujah. If not, hey, I don't regret trying.
Well, exactly, exactly. And we learn, too, is the more we try, the more we go after them. If we fail, we learn from our mistakes. It doesn't mean we give up. We just learn from our mistakes and keep going.
Right. And, I gather a lot of information through the news. But I'll tell you, folks, sometimes if you just read the news, and I know most of them are all fake, but you can get a little bit of truth if you read in between the lines, and then from there, you might find something, and then you can go even further. And when you start taking maybe that little bit of truth that you got out of the news, and then start filing Freedom of Information Act requests with the government, because then you really get into the stuff that the news isn't reporting on. You get to see all their shenanigans. Believe me, it's all out there. You just have to know how to ask for the right information.
Well, that's where people, it's finally fun to report that people are finally taking the wool off their eyes and looking at, like you said, read between the lines.
Right.
Stop taking verbatim what they say as if it's true and be able to dissect it and figure out how the deceptive Jew works.
And I just want people to know that I filed a decent amount of Freedom of Information Act requests over the year. I mean, it's not like something I'm doing like every single day. But, in a lot of cases, I'm not even being charged for this stuff. I mean, sometimes something might come up where it's $5. But there's a lot of times I file for stuff and I've never charged anything. Other than it just takes a little bit of time to write out the letter. And, sometimes you got to send it by mail or fax it. But I mean, that's most cases. That's all it really costs me. It's just a little bit of time to make the letter and send it off. And a lot of times, they just respond and give you what you're asking for, without really costing anything.
Right. Is there a template for that letter? Is there a form letter out there somewhere?
Some governments, depending on what kind of government, sometimes they have forms on their website, but I don't think those are technically ever required. It just makes it easier. But if you do an internet search, yeah, you can find the templates to basically use and draft up yourself.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot of it. Yeah, people just search Freedom of Information Act request letters. They should find all kinds of stuff.
Okay. And then who to send it to and all, is that available on the government site?
Right. Now, it depends. I mean, if you're trying to Freedom of Information Act from, let's say, Department of Defense, you go directly to their website to find the FOIA information. Or if you're trying to get court records, it would be through the local, maybe county clerk. It really just depends on what you're trying to get.
Okay. Gotcha. Makes sense. Yeah, you're right.
Yep.
If you wanted something from the DOD, you'd go to their website and find
the
contact.
FCC. Yeah, there's just not really one contact for all the agencies. All the separate agencies have their own FOIA departments.
Right. Makes perfect sense.
Whether county government, state governments, federal governments, federal entities, yeah, they're all separate.
Right. Well, one of the things that we need to do with this jubilee that we're getting ready to go into is pare down the size of government. We got way, way too much government. We need to cut it back by at least 80%.
Drain the swamp?
Yeah. Well, we got to drain the swamp. Well, think about it. A couple easy, quick things to do is, first of all, get rid of about 80% of government. Get rid of all the entitlement programs so that they don't need much operating expense, and start dealing with crime the way the Bible says, and put criminals to death that have been guilty of rape, kidnapping, murder, pedophilia, treason. Now, if you did that,
but
if you did that, Randy,
created a business for prisons.
I know that.
Right?
Right. It's all about prison industries. Which are owned by the Jews, here we go again, and they're getting cheap labor, slave labor from the prisoners. But if we did what our father told us to do, and we put these people in the ground where they belong, think about how many innocent victims would not have been victims, because the vast majority of crime is done by repeat offenders.
Absolutely.
So, again, our disobedience is behind a lot of the mischief and the yoke that's around our necks. We blame the Jews, and obviously they are culprits. There's no doubt about that. They're behind a lot of this. But ultimately, we have to look in the mirror and say, why in the hell did we ever allow this to happen? I remember even as a boy when the big push through the media was that executing criminals was cruel and unusual. And it was the Jew playing on our effeminate, the ladies, because by the 1950s, of course, women were used to voting and being part of the process. So that's when the Jews ramped up their emotionalism and got us into this, well, it's cruel to punish criminals. Excuse me? Okay, that's where the men failed. First of all, we allowed the suffrage movement to convince us that women should be part of the electoral process, etc. That's ludicrous. That was a complete disaster. But once they got in there, then all the emotionalism started, because that's over half of the voting population is led by emotions, which is right up the Jews' alley. They're propagandists. They know. Why do you think they excel at psychology and psychiatry? It was started by Sigmund Freud, a kike. That they're all about that. How to manipulate the mind, how to manipulate the masses to do what they want, because they don't have the firepower. They don't have the numbers. They're small in number. They're weak. They're sick. They're degenerate. They're schizophrenic. They're paranoid. So obviously they're not going to win a physical boots-on-the-ground battle.
Now, Pastor Dan, isn't that this emotional stuff that you're talking about? This is exactly what they do every time there's a mass shooting. They play with the people's emotion to get what they want, which is firearm confiscation.
Yeah, it's the Hegelian dialectic at work. You use the emotional issue to drive us into where they wanted us to go to begin with. So just like they talked about back when I can't, was it Rumsfeld that was in the DOD and talked about the trillions of dollars disappeared the day before 9/11? Well, that was a perfect example, and they even talked about it in some of their writings, that we need a new Pearl Harbor to bring in the Patriot Act and all of these reductions of rights, etc. And then the next thing you know, we've got the Twin Towers and Building Number 7 and the Pentagon, all part of a mass false flag within the United States. And our whole country has turned upside down since then. So, again, emotionalism, get the Americans waving the flag, rah, 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 America, God bless America. Aren't we so perfect and pure, and we're going to go over and bomb to the smithereens the people of Iraq, who had absolutely nothing to do with 9/11. In fact, they were never even indicted or charged, other than the media and speeches. But the world court, the people of the world knew that Iraq had nothing to do with it. So it's, lie upon lie upon lie, and again, we're being manipulated by our emotions, by the people that always deceive and do that to us. I wanted to ask you, Randy, are you getting any information as to why Israel, the liars and it's a lie, are closing their embassies around the world?
I don't know anything about that.
Oh, okay. That just came
there's
out over
so,
the
there's
last...
So much, there's so much news we're getting hit with, Matt. It's really hard to keep up with all of it.
Oh, it is. It is. And that's one reason why we developed this roundtable conference call.
Yes.
Was to bring us all together as brothers and sisters, and the fact that all of us do dogged research. I mean,
think about this. Now, I don't have any information in that, but I mean, I'll speculate. I mean, hey, you got a nation of people, you got a government who's trying to disarm them. It's not working out. People are starting to ask questions, rise up, and they're all armed. I mean, wouldn't you be fleeing too? I'm just saying.
Well, that's one of the theories.
If you're involved in the treason, you're going to get the hell out of Dodge, because you got how many millions upon millions of Americans are angry, and they've got firearms. I mean, if this gets out of hand, this is going to make our American Revolution. Let me tell you. Look, we have a lot more people in this country than during those days. So let's just say it could get ugly real quick.
Right. Amen to that. You're right. It was also disclosed that the Israelis just did, for the first time in their history, have a mass casualty drill in a sports arena, in a stadium, which is kind of coincidental with all of the rumors going around that today in Seattle, when they play the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that something might happen at the stadium there, and something with the Space Needle. So everybody's on edge. Everybody's looking. Of course, it could be a false flag where they got us all looking at Seattle when they are actually going to try to pull this off in some other major city.
Now, we do have some good news.
Good news is always welcome.
Because we're not all about doom and gloom. Beto, the gun grabber who wanted to confiscate our weapons, he's on his way back home to Texas, folks. He quit. He give up because he realized that plan wasn't going to work out for him. But I tell you, a lot of people, they hear like what Beto says, and they just kind of pass it off. But let this be a firm reminder, folks. It doesn't matter if they get elected or not. These people, the kinds of things that Beto was saying, you have people in government right now who believe that. That's scary.
Right.
Like Dianne Feinstein. I mean, there's videos of her on the internet. You can still see, since years ago. But she had talked about, if she would have had enough votes in the Senate, Mr. and Mrs. America, turn them all in. That's how these people feel. And they're sitting in positions of power. It's unacceptable.
Oh, amen. Amen to that. Well,
some people might be like, well, they have the right to free speech. No. The words that they're uttering is treason.
Yeah, exactly. They can have free speech as a civilian, but not as a public servant.
Right. Yeah, when they start talking about going up against our right, they become enemy number one.
That's right. That's treason.
And I'm going to tell you, Matt, the sheriff, the stuff that I'm working on with the sheriff in Midland, there's a target over his head, and I'm coming at it. Full steam ahead.
Well, bravo. Bravo.
It's on my radar.
Bravo. It's well, we talked about the fact that, you know, we're supposed to be Radamanthine. Some people pronounce it Radamanthin, but either way is acceptable. But Radamanthin is a Greek word. It means to be strictly and uncompromisingly just. And that's exactly what you're talking about, Randy. That's the attitude you're taking, and it's the attitude all of us men should have, isn't it?
Now, some people look at it, and this won't apply just to the sheriff, but just all these corrupt people in general. I just want to say a blanket statement to all of them. There's people out there that say, well, none of us are perfect. And I want to say, wait a damn minute. When they make the mistake and own it, that's fine. But when they use their authority to get out of trouble that they would arrest any one of us for, but try to use their authority to get out of trouble, I say, hell no, that's more than a mistake.
Yeah, you're right about that. Well, again, public servants, according to Scripture, you're people that are given positions of trust, which is exactly what a public servant is.
And when
they're held to a higher standard.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm going to tell you, man, let's show all of these, whether they're corrupt politicians, liars, let's show them no mercy. We have all the tools that we need. We have more tools available to us than our founding fathers. With the click of a button, you can broadcast to the world their whole treason. Think about that. Our founding fathers didn't have that luxury, did they?
No. We can use the technology properly, and it's starting to happen. Good people,
and we're using it right now.
You know, exactly.
Right now, we are rebelling against them, and they can't stop us. Hallelujah.
And I wanted to bring that up. You talked about good news. Here's some more good news. Okay, because I'm retired, I have the time that it takes, and I know most of you don't, folks, but that's what Yahweh put me here for. I go through a lot of news, a lot of video feeds and all this stuff, and I'm particularly proud of John Mark. John Mark's been a guest a couple times on this show, and he works with Kurt Doolittle and promotes proprietarianism and the law of reciprocity. I'm going to tell you, he just did a couple videos. He has mentioned being on this program and how much we work together and how much we have in common. He's even used some of the different points that we've brought up in his videos. He just did a video pointing out that race is ultimately important, because if you look at the demographics and if you look at the charts, and he just did pure statistics, the alt-right or the people that are the Trump supporters, the people that are constitutionalists, are predominantly white. The people that vote for conservative values, predominantly white. The non-white people are predominantly Marxist leftists. So there is an absolute correlation between the race of the individual and their politics. And Randy, tell me if I'm wrong, but when you look at the TV monitor at the people promoting all of the unconstitutional, unbiblical, immoral garbage that's trying to be shoved down our throats, how many of them fit the description of being non-white and non-male? Almost all of them, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I remember the days of the Tea Party when we rallied across many different states at the same time. I think that's what really scared the enemy. When we showed up at many of our state capitals at the same time around the country, they were overwhelmingly white. And I think that scared the hell out of the enemy, because that wasn't an isolated event. This was across the country at the same time. That's scary.
Well, I was proud to be...
How they demonized us for that?
Oh, absolutely. I was proud to be part of that. I went to Virginia. I went to Virginia. I flew up to Virginia the night before to my brother's house, and then we left Virginia and took a bus. There was a whole busload of us. Actually, there were several buses of us from that area of Virginia. And my brother, myself, his wife, and my son all went to the first big Tea Party rally in 2009 right in Washington, D.C. And we listened to, I took a little transistor radio with me, and we listened to the local AM stations that morning as we were watching people flooding into downtown Washington, D.C. Flooding. I mean, just masses of people coming down there. And the local AM radio stations were accurate because they were guesstimating 200,000, 400,000, 600,000. Then it hit 1 million, and the whole crowd around us, when they heard that on my radio, that we were all just shouting. And then it kept going, 1,000,002, 1,000,003, all the way to 2 million of us in downtown Washington, D.C. that day. Later on, we found out that you're right, Randy, all across America, there were an additional 7 million people in the streets in the major cities, especially the capitals, doing exactly what we were doing, telling the government we'd had enough. And the vast majority, you are 100% right. Remember when the Tea Party rallies happened, they called them racist because it was 98% white people.
Yeah. I remember we went to the one in Lansing, Michigan, and I remember, man, how many years ago was this now? Wow, I can't remember what year it was.
2009, so it was 10 years ago.
Seems like yesterday. I remember I didn't have my bullhorn. I'm not even sure why I didn't have it there, but I remember yelling at the top of my lungs. I don't know if the politicians were in there or if they were at home that day, but I was trying to egg them to come out, you know, basically calling them traitors, like, look, you know, hey, we all show up and you're all in there hiding. I was egging them to come out so we could kick their butts, and I remember somebody handed me a bullhorn. Oh, I tell you, I ripped into them for about 10 or 15 minutes until my voice gave out. I was trying to get the politicians to come out from hiding underneath the desk.
Well, I remember...
Like I said, I don't know if they were actually in there, but I was egging them on to come out.
I remember us being there, and if you remember back in 2009, right after the communist traitor Obama got in there, he said something about, yeah. I don't hear any complaints. So one of the things that all of us would do is we'd start screaming at the top of our lungs, can you hear us now? I mean, all big sections of the crowd.
You know, after Obama got elected, do you remember how I triggered all the leftists in that Midland community?
How?
I stood on the day after Obama got elected, I stood on a busy street corner in full Klan regalia and triggered all the leftist communist tanks. They were trying to run me over and throw things at me. And all I did was stood there in full Klan regalia and triggered all of them.
Yeah, now that you mention it,
Google my name. This was years ago when day after Obama got elected, I triggered all of them. You know, they still talk about that to this day.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's again, the good news is, Randy, 10 years ago, they were throwing rocks at us, and they were denigrating us, but now I'm in different blogs and forums, and I'm giving them some of the meat of the identity message and propertarianism, and they want more. I'm getting almost no negative feedback anymore. I think white people are finally waking up.
It's a lot different. You know, even was recently listening to Michael Savage, who is Jewish. His real name is Michael Wiener. He's even talked. I don't know how long he's been doing it, but I caught him talking about these same type of issues.
Yeah, yeah. Well, do you know who Kim Iverson is?
No.
Okay, she's got a YouTube channel. I'm not sure what she is ethnically, but she's recommended by many of the YouTubers as being a pretty good journalist, pretty open. She just recently went over to Israel, and she just put this video out like a day or so ago. It's about a 30-minute video where she talks about what she saw and all of her friends that went over to Israel, and part of the trip was, of course, to the West Bank. It was also to Hebron. And
let me guess, you saw a lot of hateful individuals.
She says right up front, she goes, look, I have many, many Jewish friends. She goes, I have almost no Palestinian friends when I went over there. I spent all my time in the Palestinian areas, both in occupied and non-occupied areas. She goes, I was never fearful. I was treated with respect. They were generous. They were hospitable. She goes, nothing at all like what the media portrays. She goes, but I'm going to have to tell you something. What I saw the Israelis doing made me sick to my stomach. She goes, let me...
Brother,
let me
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, she said, let me tell you something. The only time I felt in fear for my life is when I was around the Israeli soldiers. She goes, they're out of control. Okay? And she said, what I saw happen in Hebron, I can't even tell you on this broadcast how despicable what I saw them doing in Hebron. She goes, the Israelis are wrong, dead wrong. She goes, I'm going to take a lot of heat for this, especially from my Jewish friends, but I got to tell you the truth. And I'm not the only one. She said, every American that was over there with me felt the same way. The Palestinians are the ones who are being put upon. They are not the troublemakers. And it's the Israelis who are behind all of the despicable things that are going on over there. Amazing.
See, even before you told that, I already, when you studied the enemy long enough, I already knew what your response was going to be. I mean, a lot of these videos about how these people really are over there, you can find them on YouTube.
Oh, absolutely. Well, even on this show, I've interviewed military guys like Joe Cortina and, Sergeant Barry of the Special Forces Underground, Stephen Barry, and other people that have been over there and stationed over there in Israel, and they said the exact same thing. They said that they were completely disappointed and actually appalled at the behavior of the Israelis, especially the soldiers, that they were slovenly, they were not disciplined, they were filthy. They said, as people, they are filthy, which is exactly what all of the World War II historians say was the reason for the delousing, using Zyklon B to delouse all of them, because the Jews that came in refused to bathe. And so they were covered in lice.
Do you remember years ago, I mean, we're talking, this is probably way before the Tea Party even, there was a video that had got released to that young Jewish kid where he was drunk, and I think he was confronting a Palestinian woman or something, and he was like, you know, F Jesus this and F Jesus that. Remember that video?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I'm sure it's still out there. It's been years since I've seen it, but I remember it. You know, when you start to study the enemy, folks, you want to know how they really are, and I'll tell you, man, it's disgusting.
Well, interestingly enough, one of the newest groups that I'm in contact with, and these folks are very educated folks, and they're all over the earth. One of them was actually married to a Jewish woman for a while, and he said one time near the end of their marriage, when there was a lot of arguing going back and forth, that she lost her temper, and she basically said to him as a Gentile what she thought of him. And she goes, we all feel that way. You people are stupid. You don't realize how much contempt we have for you. And so, you know, she called him what they always do, stupid goyim, you're just an animal, blah, blah, blah. I mean, she just got, when they lose their temper, I've noticed that. One thing that's good about a Jew, as long as they keep their composure, they will try to come across as being intellectuals. But once they realize they've lost the debate or the argument, and they're not winning you over with their supposed intellect, they become just the opposite. They are pure emotion. They will reveal their true inner feelings instantly. They won't hide anything, and they will use language that will make a sailor blush every single time, male or female, doesn't matter. When they have admitted they've lost the debate, because they will go into a diatribe of nothing but slang words, mudslinging, ad hominem attack, you name it, they just come unglued. It's unbelievable. In fact, if you ever get a Jew close to that point, you need to turn on your digital voice recorder, even if you got it on your phone. Most of them have an application on your phone. You need to record what they say while they're angry, because it is so revealing. It's unbelievable.
Absolutely. You know, it's a very popular thing now to go after these people. I am putting it out there. I mean, look at what Project Veritas has been doing to CNN. I love that stuff. Of course, it's stuff that we already knew, but it's out there for the whole world to see now. They're confirming what we already knew.
Yeah.
Look at the last few years. Planned Parenthood has been exposed like crazy, butchering little babies, selling their body parts. So you got CNN. Oh, that was done by the Center for Medical Progress, which now the government's trying to go after them. or they are going after them. You know, you got Project Veritas going after CNN. I mean, I love all this. People are taking, they're not just sitting back and saying, well, there's nothing we can do about it. They are doing something about it. We all are.
Well, there's a lot of
folks. Now we're all doing very different things, but think about it as one big army. Yes, we are all doing different things. We're all targeting on different aspects of the enemy, but it's such a variety of attacks against the enemy. How are they going to stop all of us? We're attacking them on so many levels, so many different ways, so many different approaches, but together it's a force that can't be stopped. Because even if they do go after the Center for Medical Progress, even if they're able to stop them, you still got so many other people still going at them. They're not stopping. They're not getting scared and running away. We're coming at them even harder.
They can't keep up, Randy. It's an avalanche.
We got them. We got them, and people are realizing that now, how much power we truly have. I mean,
well,
think about the technology that we have in our hands. For those of us that have those smartphones, and boy, they are expensive, but think about the power. That device that you hold in your hand is so much more powerful than the home computers that we had back in the 90s, and it's in the palm of your hand.
Oh, yeah.
That thing that you hold in the palm of your hand can record their treason. You can record your own podcast. The click of a button, you expose all their treason in the palm of your hand. Imagine if the Founding Fathers had that, but we do.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Man,
you're right.
Powerful. They can't stop us. They use that technology against us, but we also use it against them.
Well, up till now, it's all been used against us. Nobody's dared
sure.
to go against them. So at least now we're on a more level playing field.
You know, there's some people that will say, well, you know they're listening to your phone calls. Oh, hey, great. Hey, they can go listen to my podcast, too. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not hiding.
Right.
They can listen to us on this radio program. We don't care, do we? We're not hiding in the shadows like they are.
Actually, I'm counting on them listening to the program.
Yes.
They need to hear the condemnation that's coming from not only from us people, but from on high.
Well, because it's not too late for them to turn. You know, they realize what they're doing is wrong. We're giving them time to, you know, maybe sit back and change their behavior. I mean, before it's too late.
Yep, that's amazing.
Once this thing really kicks off, I mean, if they force us into that level, I mean, it's too late. Game's over. There is no more compromising then. There's no more negotiations and talk and forgiveness. No, we'll show them real. We'll really show them what no mercy is all about.
Amen. There's a saying out there that says, once you lose your fear, life becomes limitless. I'd say that's very much a truism, wouldn't you?
It does.
Absolutely. So lose your fear, folks. It's the fear that the whole reason for the propaganda, the control of the media, the control of the money, is to maintain the level of fear, that you have nothing you can do, that you're all alone. It's all a big lie. It's all a mental construct.
They want us to feel powerless. They really do. They want us to feel like there's nothing we can do. That's what
Absolutely.
They want us to feel, but I say no. Our Founding Fathers did not just lay down and play dead when they were confronted. They, you know, they stood their ground.
Yeah, amen.
Be like the Founding Fathers. Be like our and not just be like our Founding Fathers, but also like our Father who went into the temple, didn't run away, but went into the temple with the whip and gave them all a good beating.
Oh, yeah.
This is our history. This is our history, folks.
That's right.
This is what we're here for. We're not here to be raptured away when the going gets tough. No, we go into the battle.
Amen.
We go right into their dens, wherever they are. Doesn't matter if they're down below, like in those caves they got all throughout the country. We go into the caves.
Wherever they go, we go
crashing through their door, and we crash their party.
Yep. That's why I refer to Christ as the Aryan Christ now in everything I write. To make sure we differentiate between the
Father
false
like son,
Christ. That's right. Don't consider Christ a Jew. So to combat that, you call him the Aryan Christ, and to combat the term Jew, because all the algorithms are looking for that, and they're the false Jews of Revelation 2, verse 9, refer to them as Talmud thumpers. That's what I call them. You know, they used to call us Bible thumpers. Well, I call them Talmud thumpers. So,
Brother Dan, here's what I want to caution the people. Because the reason why we should be going after these people, because if we don't, we're just going to sit around and they're going to take us down one by one like they did with those Christian bakery owners. You know, I'm sure they just wanted to live peaceful lives and didn't want to be messed with, but the enemy came knocking and shut at least one of them down that I know of in the state of Oregon. So are we going to just sit by and have them target us one by one and have them take us out, or are we going to go full steam against them? The choice is ours. I'm not going to just sit around and wait for them to come get me.
Right.
I choose to fight.
Well, that's it. That's it. I think it's in Proverbs. It says it's better to be harmed for doing good than evil. So if harm's going to come, well, let it be because I'm taking the fight to the enemy, not running away in cowardice and all of that. So, yeah, you're right about that. Hey, I wanted to get into Romans 13 a little bit here, because so many churches have misused this. So I'm going to read a little bit and then give my take on it, then I'll get your take on it. But I'll just read down through here a little bit. Let every soul, psuche in the Greek, be in subjection to the higher authorities, for there is no authority except from Yahweh God. And those who exist are ordained by Yahweh God. Therefore, he who resists the authority withstands the ordinance of God, and those who withstand will receive to themselves judgment. Now, that's where the church world stops. Just those two verses. But here's the rest of the story. For the rulers, those in authority, are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil. Do you desire to have no fear of the authority? Well, then do that which is good, and you will have praise from the authority. For he is a servant of Yahweh God to you for good. Now, there's the part they leave off. So the description, starting in verse 3 and 4, of who the authorities are that we're to give obedience to, they're godly authorities, not ungodly authorities. What's that?
Yeah, not the ones who are allowing for little babies to be chopped up. We're not to submit to that evil.
No, exactly. So just the opposite. If you look at Scripture as a whole instead of taking pieces like the church world does, if you look at the Scripture as a whole, we are to be a resistance to evil. We are to fight evil. We are to punish evildoers. And murdering a child is evil. That's all there is to it. Homosexuality is evil. Everything about their whole lifestyle is evil. If you take the blinders off, if you take all the propaganda away.
What does the scripture say about when the evil are in power, the people mourn?
Exactly, and that's what we got. We got a kakistocracy.
Yeah, we're mourning. To some people, we sound like doom and gloom, but the reason why we're on here talking like this, because we have evil in positions of power. Of course, the Bible says the people are going to mourn. Yes, we are unhappy about it. Yes, we're trying to do something about it.
Amen. Amen. Holding them accountable is the secret to success. And the problem is we've allowed the Jews to take over the media and control the press to the point where we did not have truth. We did not know what was actually going on. Just like today, with all the Israeli embassies closing, they're claiming it's because there's a strike going on and a dispute. If anybody believes that, you're dumber than a box of rocks. That's what they're telling you. The truth of the matter, however, is going to be something completely different. Just like when 9/11 happened, they came out with their canned little version, and they pressed it, and they pressed it, and they pressed it, and all the weak-minded people said, it must have been them Arabs with box cutters, when the thinking Americans said, wait a minute, if the government's telling me this version, odds are that's not true. And they started digging right away. And within days, I had military guys calling me, telling me that the government story is complete and utter bullshit. So, you know.
And you look how the politicians took all this legislation, basically coming against our rights, and wrapped it in the name of the Patriot Act. I mean, jeez. And they get away with this garbage. They're not fooling all of us.
No, I got a listener just sent me a note that says that they are planning on executing 17 million white Christians between 2020 and 2025. If you have a link for that or a source, if you could send that in,
My response to that is, I mean, they keep talking like that. I mean, look at Beto. I mean, he puts it out there like, oh, we're gonna come and get your guns. I mean, my response to the enemy is, you know, I'm getting kind of old and I'm getting kind of anxious for this fight that you keep talking about. So what y'all waiting for? Bring it on if you want to come get our guns. I mean, come on. I'm inviting them. Come on, let's do it. They keep talking. Their wings are flapping. Their jaw. Come on. What are they waiting for? Bring it. I've been waiting.
Well, that's like the Samson option.
See, I'm not the one out there advocating the war. I'm just saying, hey, I mean, if that's what they want to come and do, come on. Let's get it over with.
It's just like the Samson option. They keep threatening the world that they're going to set off all of their nuclear devices. I say, bring it on.
Yeah.
I don't
want
think you have them.
That's, you know, the same reason around tax time, they'll run news stories about, you know, somebody maybe getting arrested or something, you know, because they want to keep the people in fear. That's how they control you, folks. Stop being afraid of these people.
That's right.
I mean, jeez.
That's why my dad
was
right.
Lose the fear, you know, get some kahunas, and let's go after them.
A man with conviction is a majority. My dad taught me that when I was a little boy. A man with convictions is a majority, because most people don't have convictions. They're spineless jellyfish. They're just rocks, okay? So a man with conviction is going to stand out. Now, the enemy has used their people, and to great effect, to take over Christian America and the whole Western world. So it's time for men to be men again. Time for men to be lions again. And ladies, yeah, that means you're going to have to step down. You've been artificially raised in your level of power and influence in government and business, because that's what the enemy wanted. He wanted to cause division between our families and the white man and the white woman. And it's worked. However, the men now are realizing it. That's why the MGTOW, Men Going Their Own Way movement, is growing leaps and bounds, because the men are seeing through this, and they're finally taking their blinders off to look at who the culprit is, which is the Jew, of course, and what was his purpose. I mean, everything has a purpose. Well, the purpose was, again, to divide and conquer. And they knew they could control women with emotionalism, because that's how Nakash, the original serpent with two legs, got Eve to go into sexual sin with him in the garden, was using what? Sophistry and sweet words and emotionalism, because unfortunately that's
like
what Eve is susceptible to.
Kind of like the representative Katie Hill. She gets exposed, and well, she went running for the hills, didn't she? She didn't even make it a year in Congress. They show some pictures, humiliated her, and she took off.
Okay.
She was a sexual deviant.
Yep. By the way, the listeners...
Bisexual, everything father hates. She ran for the hills.
That information about they want to kill 17 million white Christian men, women, and children in the next 5 years was a video put out by Cindy Garay or Garay, G-A-R-A-Y, so I guess that would be Garay. I'm not sure who that is, but if anybody wants to look it up and verify it. When I get the link later on after the show, I'll pass it out to all the listeners on my list, and I'll have a link to it up on the website as well.
If the enemy is going to be that brave, I mean, I certainly welcome it. I mean, come on. Come on.
Yep. Yep, amen. Well, the main thing I wanted people to do is, when you got these Zio Christians, I call them, Zionist Christians, who are completely brain dead, when they start throwing the Romans 13 at you, just tell them to go read Chuck Baldwin's book about the Romans 13, or take them through a short discussion of the first four verses like we just had, and tell them that you can't just read verses 1 and 2, fools. The reason it's in there And remember, in the original writings, there were no chapters and there were no verses. It was written as text, like you read a book. Now, when you pick up a novel at the store or any historical book that's 300 or 400 pages long, do you go through and just read a couple sentences here and there and think you got the whole story? No. When you pick up the letter written to the Romans, you're supposed to read it from beginning to end, just like you would a book. Acting like you can read a sentence
Pastor
or two.
Dave, but isn't that what the churches have done with the Old Testament? Oh, don't read that. That's the Old Testament. We got to concentrate on the New Testament. That's what
Amen.
They tell people. They don't want us to read the whole thing.
Amen. Hey, we got another caller.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll bring you back on here as soon as I click him in. Just a second.
Hopefully it's Mike.
Okay, Henry, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you doing, Dan? Randy, how you doing?
Hey, praise Yahweh.
Yes, same here. You were talking a little earlier. I don't know what you said specifically, but it made me think about the media that we have today. And all I can say is that they're just so afraid of the Jew. They just won't name the Jew. They'll call them everything from warmonger, the globalist, leftist, Marxist. Anything but what they actually are. I don't watch a lot of TV. Occasionally I watch Tucker. Not that much anymore. But and even the one that comes on at 10 o'clock, the female there, I can't think of her name, Ingram or something like that.
Laura Ingram.
Laura Ingram. And I don't watch her on any kind of regular basis. When I do, it's more out of curiosity. It's just... sometimes I'm just bored late at night, and I get curious, and I can usually only stomach it for 5-10 minutes at a time. The amazing thing I always notice, I mean, this is like 100% of the time. It's more so with Ingram and that other idiot clown on Fox, Hannity. Not so much with Tucker. I have more respect for Carlson than those other two, because those other two, to me, are total Jew lovers. You'll see they're pro-Trumpers all the way. They just blowing the horn for Trump. And they set up these little debates or whatever you call these 5- and 10-minute segments that they have where they talk about issues, what's going on in the Middle East, what's going on with the Democrats and whatever. And it's just amazing that you'll see they'll have 2, 3, or 4 guests and they'll be talking. And about 90 to 95% of the time, 90 to 95% of the guests are Jewish. The experts that they call in to discuss everything in the debate, it's almost always Jewish. I mean, not always is their name obviously Jewish, but if you just do a little research, you'll see, sure enough, they are. It's like, what's the deal there? I mean, I just get so frustrated. They're so dominated by Jews in the media, and they're so afraid to name them. And for the public watching these people on Fox especially, I know the other networks are probably even more so dominated by Jews. So I never watched them, though. But Fox News, I used to watch and think was, pretty decent many years ago, and it just astounds me. It's just... I don't know.
I share your frustration with the media, but we do have the power and tools to become our own media.
Yeah, but even on the internet, I see a lot of truthers. A lot of truthers just won't name the Jew. There's one website I found recently. I think I sent you an email on it a month or two ago, Dan. I don't know. I didn't get a response, but it's called Russia Insider. I think it's relatively new. They've got some fantastic writers. I'll name a few. Mike Walsh. I know you're familiar with Mike Walsh.
Sure. He's been a guest.
And he's tremendous. You know what? Why I like Russia Insider a lot is not only do they focus a lot on current events, obviously that's the main point, but they also go back and do a lot of historical stuff. And, of course, Mike Walsh, as far as he's the expert on World War II for good reason. And he writes a lot, he does a lot of pieces on there. There's a guy named Charles Bosman, who's very good. Paul Craig Roberts. I know you respect him. I respect him a lot. I think he's tremendous. The only problem I have with Roberts is occasionally, like so many of them, they've got everything right on the money, but they once in a while they'll slip up. Not slip up, but they still don't have the correct understanding about what took place in World War II. And I think I noticed that with Paul Craig Roberts, too. It's the only thing I can criticize him about. Occasionally he'll say something about Hitler in a derogatory sense, and it's like, oh, geez, Paul, you're so right on everything else. But, you know, what are you going to do? You got it, you know, we don't agree on everything with everybody, and you got to, sometimes you just have to accept that, although it's very, very frustrating. That's why I like Russia Insider, though. I mean, they put a tremendous effort into educating people as to the dynamics and the crucial importance of what took place in World War II, and they've got it right. And this is Russia Insider, so I mean, they have a spin. Obviously, they're pro-Putin. And I have to say that so am I. I mean, I hear a lot of people who call themselves truthers who criticize Putin and call him a Jew, but I just don't see the evidence of it. I see what he's doing in Russia. In a period of 5 years, I'm not sure what the time period was, but there was a five-year period within his reign, so to speak. 30,000 churches were created in a period of 5 years in Russia. Compare that to the United States, where just the opposite is happening. You know, it's just, Russia is the, to me, I just wish we lived in a society where we had a leader like him. If I'm wrong about Putin, hey, shame on me, but I see everything he's doing. Unless he's the ultimate actor, I just don't see it. The Middle East, he's just taking charge of that situation. He's the one that defeated ISIS, by the way, not you, Donald. You didn't defeat ISIS. What a joke that is. I mean, our politicians stand up there and have to lie, even though I think Trump knows we didn't defeat ISIS, but he has to say it. Even Trump can't say what he wants to say, I don't think. It's not even just media people.
Has he told the truth about 9/11 yet?
Exactly.
No, can't, of course not.
But when he was a candidate, boy, he was saying all the right things. He was even hinting that he was going to unveil the truth about 9/11, wasn't he?
Yeah, and JFK.
And JFK.
Do you guys remember when he first got elected? There was reports. I don't know if it was the Secret Service or who it was. But there were reports at the very early stages where his phone was taken away from him to keep him off of Twitter. Remember those reports? They tried to control his speech.
Yeah. I always go back and forth with Trump as far as whether or not he was lying from the beginning and this was all planned to come out this way, or he just actually did have some good intentions of nationalistic intentions, and just got the conversation, got the JFK video probably before his inauguration speech. I don't know if you remember, though. Remember that inauguration speech? It was really great. It really kind of made it, because I voted for Trump, and I was really optimistic that he was going to make some good positive change. And even after his inauguration speech, where he's telling, he's saying all the right stuff, saying things that no politician, no president has said in a long time. And then within days, I mean, he was saying things like, well, Hillary's not so bad after all. I'm not going to go after her. It was obvious that I think after he gave that inauguration speech, they sat him down and said, no, this is not going to happen. So it doesn't really matter whether he was a liar from the beginning and a con artist from the beginning, because that is his history, or whether or not they've controlled him completely. The end result is the same regardless, and we're in a terrible position in this country. And when you make the contrast to what's happening in Russia under Putin, It's so dramatic. It's just, wow. I you know, I read a lot of the commenters on some of the articles I read on Russia Insider, and it's definitely, I don't know, I guess there's people from all over the world that access that site. I mean, from Europe, United States, Russia, and boy, they like to unload on America. Boy, it you know, I think most of them realize, obviously, it's not the citizens that they have a problem with, and it's our government. But some of them just don't even make the, you know, don't even try to attempt to make the difference of it. It's just, you know, they just hate America for what our government is doing around the world, especially in the Middle East. But I don't know. It's tough.
You know, brother, I would be careful. You know, I wouldn't concentrate too much on the comment section, because a lot of times troll farms are being used to form opinions, and you know, left wingers are real big on using troll farms.
Yeah, I think,
so you
actually
know, those comments could be fake, man. They could be.
Well, I don't see too much leftist comments. I think I see a lot of arguments. You, actually, Dan, you'd be pleasantly surprised to find out that you see a decent percentage of people that clearly understand the identity message within the comments, and those are the people that when they start talking about that narrative, that will typically get a lot of people, you know, to go against them. But you could see that the identity message is out there. It's not as popular as I wish it was, but that's just the way it has to be, I guess.
Yeah, I agree. You're seeing a lot more of it, and a lot of times they don't call it identity, just like
right.
John Mark and Kurt Doolittle don't call it identity, but what they call propertarianism is strictly out of the Bible. I mean, when you correctly interpret it. I got a couple comments. Let me fill this in here. Caucasian guy says, we have a lot of German demonization on television. He's over in the Netherlands. And Levi Hunter said here that Laura Ingraham has a Hispanic foster child, and she dated a Hindu for a while. So obviously, she has no concept on the racial issues.
Tell me about it. Really? Oh, yeah.
A lot of them are like that.
Yep, a lot of them are like that. That's right. It reminds me of the white people I've talked to for the past 30 years at work and outside of work, when I try to tell them about racial issues and all this stuff. And you got a lot of pushback, like the one guy I met here in Florida. He grew up just down the road from where I grew up in Pennsylvania, so I thought we had some common bond there. But as I'm getting, and he called himself a Christian, a believer, and as I'm talking to him about these things, and I start talking about the Jews, he's starting to push back. I start talking about the race, he's pushing back. Well, what do I find out? He's married to a Jew,
yep.
And one of their daughters is married to a black guy. The guy out in Iowa, when I was out there working and talking to him, he agreed with me on a lot of things, but then he goes, "Well, I can't go against this racial thing because my daughter's married to a black guy, and I've got a mixed grandchild, and you know, I just have to love the child." And I said, "Where do you get the idea you have to love that child?"
I know.
Where?
Yeah.
Where?
Exactly.
And you didn't love your daughter enough to tell her that you would disown her ass if she
really?
Got a non-white.
Yeah. That's not true love, then, in my opinion.
Don't have real love.
Right.
You let her marry a black guy? What the hell's wrong with
you? If you love him, you tell him the truth.
That's exactly right.
That's
if
right.
You love
I know.
Them, it'd be tough
now,
love.
Isn't that what's interesting about the left-wingers? And left-wing, communist, Democrat, they use a million different names, so that's why I'm constantly trying to get it all out there real quick, because they all masquerade under these different titles. But you'll notice they say this love phrase all the time, but they're anything but that, because what they're out there pushing, all this propaganda, is the ways of the Antichrist, whether it be their race mixing, abortion, the gay marriage, all these issues that they support are Antichrist, but they're the party of love. They use the rainbow. Look, I think the rainbow looks great in the sky, but they've hijacked that symbol. They've taken something nice and turned it into something ugly.
Yes.
Amen. Hey, Randy, by the way, Randy, before we forget, for anybody that's up in your area that might want to get a hold of you, or even people that aren't, that just want to talk to you about or find out how you're doing what you're doing, put out your the web page where they can find your stuff.
The podcast, the easiest way to get to it is randygray.net, and that's RANDYGRAY.net, randygray.net/podcast, all lowercase.
Okay, so randygray.net/podcast.
Yep.
Okay, very good.
I do my podcast, I show video evidence, other documentation that may pertain to the subject. It's all right there for everybody to see. You're seeing what I'm talking about.
Yeah, very good. That's what it takes. It just takes the good people deciding, like we're doing here with these calls, people that have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, to lose their fear and come together.
I've had some people say, Randy, you put out good information, but man, sometimes there's a bit of a popping sound. It's like, look, there may be a little bit of popping sound because I don't have the equipment of Fox News. I do the I do the best I can, but I have recently ordered a pop filter because I want to make sure that I'm giving the best clarity over what comes through the microphone that I can. But yeah, sometimes you're going to hear a pop, or you're going to hear some paper shuffle because I'm not reading from a teleprompter. I'm just giving you the information.
Right.
It's real news. You're going to hear a little background noise, a little bit of paper shuffling. Hey, that's what it is.
Well, it's live, and it's off the cuff,
extemporaneous. Right.
I mean, it's not scripted. Yeah. A lot of this garbage put out by Fox News and all the big time, like Alex Jones, that's a lot of that is scripted, okay? They've gone over what the questions are going to ask, what the answers will be. All of his material sitting there in front of him, like you said, we're off the cuff, we're going in whatever direction the spirit leads, and so you're right. You may hear a burp, you may hear a paper shuffle, you may hear a clicking on the mouse. I mean, come on. When I started this out, and I'm going to blow my own horn here on this one because I don't know many people that would do this. When I started learning about identity and the truth, I used the best way to get information was to get a hold of places like Aryan Nations and order their books, because they were one of the few that would print the real books like Mein Kampf, or go to the ministries and get cassette tapes. So cassette tapes...
Or VHS? Remember VHS?
Well, VHS too, but in the beginning, cassette tapes were the cheapest, and that was the easiest way to get the message out. And I remember paying for these tapes of these messages, and the quality was so poor that I would put it in the cassette tape player, I'd have to turn the volume up 100% and try to hear the words between the hissing and the noise that was on the tape.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, when you desire the truth that much that you're going to sit there and listen to that garbage in your ear for an hour, that's the true truth seeker. Okay, what we're doing today is 100 times improved over what we had to go through back in the 80s and 90s to get truth.
We're getting better.
We're getting better. Father's giving us better tools. Father is giving us the technology. The enemy has it, but don't tell me that we don't have it. Yes, we do. And we have...
Because recently I sent Pastor Dan an actual image of my setup. And believe it or not, folks, the smartphone that I'm calling in on this program right now, I have it sit on a tripod, and I've got a microphone that attaches to the tripod and plugs right into my phone. I mean, for a few hundred dollars or so, I've got this whole setup that does my recording. It's that cheap, really. I mean,
it costs
a lot of money, but the equipment that I've added to my phone to make the podcast try to make it the listening more enjoyable, it's only costing me a few hundred dollars to put that together, a microphone and a tripod.
Oh, it's cost effective. When I bought my first Dell 386, which at the time was like the top of the chart, and it would, by today, like you said, in the palm of your hand, you've got at least 100 times more power than that Dell. That Dell cost me $3,600.
So I should have that in the next couple of weeks.
What's that?
I should have my pop filter in the next week or so. So I'll start doing that. I'm just perfecting my setup.
Right. So anyway, that, like I said, that Dell cost me $3,600. You can get a beautiful, I got a refurbished HP all-in-one with a great big 24-inch screen on it, and you could go and get a refurbished for like $300 and some. I mean, and it's got at least 10 times the power, 10 times the speed of that Dell for $3,600. So father, the enemy, of course, wants this cheap electronics to use to get in front of our faces for propagandizing us. But here again, Yahweh's people can take and turn the tide and take the enemy's inventions and use them against them. It's all a matter of what drives you. What's your motive? Oh, I wanted to, Caucasian guy says that without the internet, Europe would be totally isolated from Christian identity.
Oh, yeah.
It's that bad over there.
I feel so bad for the Europeans. I see that, you know, I see that in the comments all the time. They're just so isolated. It's such a bad spot. It's amazing. Yeah, hey, Rick.
What kind of weapons do they have in Europe?
None.
Exactly. We're not going to end up like that, brothers and sisters. We can't allow it.
Yeah, it's amazing.
We can't end up like, how about the South Africans, where they're butchered by these people?
Yeah,
by these animals.
Speaking of the South Africans,
you want to really get disarmed? I don't.
Hey, speaking of the South Africans, guess what country is taking them in as immigrants? Give me one guess.
About this. Was it Russia? Australia?
Russia.
Okay.
So that could just go my earlier point.
Does that make Putin a racist now?
While we're taking in Somalians, while we're taking in 70 IQ Somalians, they're taking in these people, their lives are on the line, too. I mean, seriously. Oh, my God.
And people that have real trade skills, like farming, versus people that are looking for a handout.
Yep. Yeah,
people that can actually come to the country and offer some actual services instead of just their handout.
Right. They're going to go there. They're going to be self-sufficient. And actually, Russia's taking in Germans now, too. A lot of Europeans are fleeing Europe now and flocking to Russia, and Russia's taking them in, too.
This is what makes me mad when I hear politicians say, well, we're all a nation of – we're all immigrants. Oh, there's a difference between many of our ancestors that came to the United States versus the ones that are flooding across the southern border illegally. My ancestors, your ancestors, they weren't coming with their handouts saying, well, you know, give us this and give us that. No, no, no. Many of our ancestors that came to the United States were farmers. They came to this country with a skill, and they put it to use. They didn't want nothing from the government other than freedom and the right to live their life.
And they had to be from Europe. Prior to 1965,
But now we're being overran by a people who want to come here for all the handouts and the gimme programs. And then the politics, well, we're a nation of immigrants. I hate when they say that.
Well, you know, I think there's another element to this immigration, too, besides the freebies and the handouts. I think they're here for another purpose as well.
Yes, like illegal voting?
Well, no, I think you could classify them as invaders, because at some point when the shit hits the fan, I don't think they're going to be on our side.
Well, because we're the evil racist.
That's correct. So
we are so evil and racist. They come over here and look at what we give them. Instead of saying, "Hey, wow, we really appreciate this freedom and all this stuff." They look at us, after they've taken all the stuff that we've given to them, they look at us and say, you're a racist.
Yes.
I mean, and we put up with this. We put up with this garbage.
Yeah. When I see white people who tolerate that, it turns my stomach. It really does.
And I want to say this, brother. For all those people out there, you know, all these Democrat, liberal, communists that think, well, they could just simply get elected, pass whatever laws and we have to put up with it, I say, think again. The Declaration of Independence, and I've quoted this many times, and yes, here we go again, it says that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right and it is the duty of the people to alter it, to abolish it, and to institute new government. So let that sink in to all the Democrat, liberal, communists. Just because you get elected and pass laws doesn't mean we have to put up with it.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
That's called real checks and balances. Well, that's the people. We the people have the right to overthrow our own government. We celebrate it every July 4th. Hallelujah. It's not about the hot dogs and the Chinese firecrackers. It's about overthrowing tyrants. That's what I celebrate.
Oh, yeah.
Show them no mercy.
Enemies within and enemies without. So foreign and domestic. A lot of people don't even know what that means. A lot of guys say that when they become police officers in the military. I've talked to them when I was in the Air Force, so I know.
They
don't even know what that means.
Beto ran around the country talking about he's going to take away our AR-15s, and if anybody didn't comply with it, well, there's consequences. Well, let me tell people like Mr. Beto that there are consequences for going after our Constitution.
Oh, yeah. We're headed for a conflict. There's no doubt about that.
Dan, there's no doubt about that. And as a matter of fact, I mean, even world leaders, Putin himself has referenced this. There was a recent conference that he was supposed to attend, and he decided not to because, in essence, it was about... He decided not to attend this conference. I can't remember what it was specifically for, but the reason he decided not to attend it is because he knows the United States had something to do with our country, and he knows what's about to go down in this country, and it basically just... I mean, there's confirmations all over the world that our country is a powder keg, and it's about to go, and it's not hidden, and it's well-known fact to people who are paying attention. Unfortunately, the masses in our country. I went to dinner last night with my son and daughter and their spouses and just tried to get a little truth into the conversation. We were there for 2 hours, and it was just whenever I would speak about anything relevant to what's happening, I just got blank stares, and like within seconds, the conversation would change to sports or something like that, and it was just like I just shook my head, looked at my wife, and said, "Oh God, it's sad." I try to get through to my kids, but
you're up against two problems, Henry. First of all, the scripture says that a prophet is never accepted in his own hometown. People familiar with you aren't going to listen ever.
Yep.
They just don't think you know anything more than they know. That's just the way it is. The Messiah dealt with it 2,000 years ago. You're dealing with it now. The other problem is that we've got to get over this concept that we've got to save everybody.
Yep.
You're not going to save everybody. Okay?
I agree.
We're on the Titanic.
Totally.
There's only so many lifeboats. Okay? The scripture calls them arks. There's only so many arks. And Yahweh wants his children to get into the lifeboats. The Titanic's going to go down, and we just have to accept that 90% or so of our people are going to go into the water with it. Just let them go. If Father Yahweh doesn't care, he does care, but if he understands, being a pragmatist, because that's what we are as his children, that 90% of the people don't give a damn. They're not going to fix anything. They're not going to help. They're not going to change. They don't care.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he says they can go down with the ship.
Right.
Our job is to find the sheep that do care and get them in the lifeboats.
Right. And I think it's naturally difficult. And my wife has a much bigger problem with this than I do. And again, I love my kids as much as any father loves their own kids. But I am able to understand that if they don't figure it out, if they don't take the information and want the truth hard enough for themselves, then I'm able to, I'm comfortable in my own skin and to say to myself, they may not be on that arc. And there's nothing I can do about it. I've reached out like any parent, concerned parent would do for their kids. And they're good kids. I mean, they've got good hearts and everything, but, I mean, it's just not important enough to them at this point. And maybe it will be, but it's getting late in the game, and I just I can live with that. It doesn't make me happy, but by the same token, you know, you were talking earlier, if your son came home with someone, a black person, I mean, I would do the exact same thing. I know a friend, a casual friend, his son, he told me, we were talking about our kids, and he started talking about his two sons, and he told me one of his sons was homosexual. And I'm like, I was stunned. And I actually told him, I said, you know, if my son came home to me, or I found out my son was homosexual, I would tell him, don't ever come back to my house. You know, you've said something similar. Don't ever come back to my house again unless you've changed. That's just it. And that's right. That, like Randy said earlier, that's actually love. To say anything but that would be accepting of it. And that's the wrong message to send. They need to know it's wrong. Whether it's race mixing, homosexuality, or any of that nonsense that's out there now. So,
yep. You
know.
Yeah, let me add this. I think that's why these left-wing communists, why they push so hard to get this stuff legalized, because they already know that the father rejects them. So now they're trying to get acceptance from someone so they get it from our elected officials,
yes. Which,
you know, because they want that acceptance, that it's okay. Yep. With, they want acceptance that it's okay. They can't get it from the father, so they go to man for it.
Yep.
And man, the people that we have in elected positions of power, are not the Yahweh-fearing type, so they give in to pressure. Because they don't have that biblical understanding to say no. That we're not going to accept this in our land. They go along with it.
Yeah, amen.
Because
to that.
They don't fear Yahweh. All they care about is their next election cycle and how much money they can suck out of the people and corporations for their next election. They care about the money, which the Bible says, what about money?
Right.
Amen.
Root
of
all
evil. Hold your thoughts for a minute, guys. Ralph up in Canada sent this in. I want to read it real quick. He said, if you want to hear the real truth of the Crimean War, go to www.radioarian.com. It's under their 2019 articles, the Orthodox Nationalist Crimean War. And he said, Dr. Matthew Johnson blows apart the myths surrounding the Crimean War and identifies it as the start of British hostilities towards Russia. Like all other areas of history, the common knowledge about Crimea is mostly wrong, and just about all the textbooks get right are the years. Once the assumption is internalized by a historian or journalist, he then interprets data through it. In Russia's case, stereotyping is acceptable, even in academic circles. The Crimean War was the start of the modern British obsession with destroying Russia at all costs. Her statesmen and academics have blackened her name, shamelessly lied about her, and harbored all manner of revolutionaries within her borders.
Yeah, it's like Great Britain. It was like the United States of today, 100 years ago. You know, they were the great empire and Jewish controlled. And you think of what you were just mentioning about Crimea and Russia, and they had the same hatred for Germany too.
Right.
The British government, up until, I guess after World War II, the transfer of power probably took place so that the United States became the global empire. But prior to that, I would say probably England was. And I guess so many resources were drained through the two world wars, whatever. But they, prior to that... Their hatred of Germany was intense. And I'm not, again, it's not the people, but the governments. And their governments were just like our government is today, completely owned by the Jew.
Right.
And
right.
Manipulated. And
For those of us, it's clear to see why the Germans are the most hated, because they went after the enemy, the artist.
Yep.
Right, right. They stood against the communists.
They're going to demonize any of us that truly go after the enemy. I mean, that's just... I mean, go Google my name, man. See how much the left-wingers hate me. I mean, for me, it's love, right? Because they hate me so much, I get a kick out of it.
They actually, I think one of the reasons they hated Germany so much is because they knew Germany was a superior nation as far as being productive and innovative, and they knew they were going to become the, power as far as economic power and everything, and they could see it was happening. It was obvious to them. It was just, it's just insane. Sure. So let's just destroy
now,
them.
Pastor Dan, have you become the subject of any articles from the Southern Poverty Law Center? I'm sure you have.
I'm not aware of it. I do know back when we first started the show, I showed up as a push pin on their map in Stevensville, Michigan, as being a white supremacist group, which I found ludicrous because it was just me and a woman in an old farmhouse in lower Michigan, and they called that a white supremacist group. But ever since those days, no.
That's how much they fear us.
Yeah.
When you come under their crosshairs, like which a lot of us have, they fear our potential of reaching people. I remember that rally that we had years ago. Many of us come together. We went to Knoxville and exposed. This is back 2007, I believe. We exposed the whole national media for being biased. In the way they weren't covering the murder of Shannon and Chris down there, but the way they would cover other cases had the so-called the races been reversed, right? They would have been a national news story. But because this young couple were white, it didn't reach the national level. So when we call them out on it, what does the enemy do? Well, they resorted to calling us racist, like they always do.
Exactly, but here's the good news.
But they didn't demonize the actual perpetrators. That's the amazing thing here is they want to talk about us and call us all these evil names, but we weren't the ones who murdered anybody. We didn't murder that girl. We didn't sexually abuse her and throw her body in a trash can to die, but they call us white supremacists and don't dare go after the black perpetrators. Absolutely disgusting.
Right.
Randy, don't you know diversity is our greatest strength?
More brainwashing.
Right.
Exactly.
Well,
the good news is white people are now growing a thick skin when the term racist, white supremacist, KKK, xenophobe,
Nazi,
all those things are beginning. White people are finally getting the nursery rhyme right. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Ever since I was a boy, that was common.
I like being called a Nazi.
I just thought about this. You know, we had that rally back in 2007 or so. Did you know one of the black perpetrators was just back in the courtroom trying to get off from getting the death penalty? He's trying to basically get life in prison. That stuff is still ongoing today.
Yeah,
why haven't these people been drug out to the streets and hung?
Justice delayed is justice denied.
And I'm going to tell you, folks, if you want to see an angry white man, you go look at the father of Shannon's father. Go look him up on Facebook and see the kind of stuff he's posted. His name's Gary Christian. Go read his Facebook.
Yeah, I can imagine.
I'm going to tell you, at the time that we had that rally, I didn't have any children, but I do now, and I know he's angry from what he's posting, but I tell you, man, if I was in that situation, trying to hold back, right? I don't know that I would have been able to sit in a courtroom like that. I probably would have lunged at the boy. I probably would have lunged at all of them and took one of them out. I'm just being honest.
Well, you talked about the fact that the armed white man is the largest army, especially here in the United States, but I think in the world. Can you imagine what that army is going to do when all the truth about what these people have done to us, not just the Christian family, the Gary Christian and his daughter, Shannon, all the crimes, all the missing children, all the children who've died from drug overdose, all the children that have been trapped into pornography and prostitution, all of the crimes that these bastards have committed. Can you imagine when all of those white guys who are armed and pissed off realize that the power's in their hands, not these governments, not these police officers? No. They're public servants. They don't dictate what we do. They're public servants. All right? They have restraints within the Constitution as to what they're allowed to do. Everything else belongs back to us. Protecting our families is our duty, not their duty. That's not their duty. And when this group, when these armed white guys finally figure this thing out, and they realize that our Heavenly Father has given them permission for righteous indignation, and they have His permission and blessing to become the Phinehas priests of today and to take these perpetrators of these heinous crimes and do to them what He commands to be done, can you imagine how much blood is going to flow?
Well,
think of all the angry people like Gary Christian. There are millions like him that have either had businesses stolen, children raped, children murdered, wives raped, wives murdered, people put in sex slavery, organs transferred out, drug overdose. There is hardly a white family that hasn't been touched by at least one of those heinous crimes. That's quite an army.
Yeah.
All that's required is for them to realize that the power is in their hands, not the government. Governments are to keep us from doing what Yahweh wants us to do. That's why they're called government. Control the mental processes. Control the people. Keep them suppressed. Keep the status quo. Keep the kakistocracy in power. That's the whole process and purpose of government. Instead of being our servants, they have turned it around and now consider themselves our masters. We, the people, need to realize that that is ass backwards. The Bible and our Father in Heaven wanted it the other way around. We are the free men and women of Yahweh upon the earth. We answer to Him and Him alone. We don't answer to government. We don't answer to law enforcement. I'm sorry, we don't. They're our servants. And if they're not our servants, they need to be fired because they have the wrong mental attitude. If they took an oath of office, they better obey it, because even the Supreme Court has cites that tells a police officer, if you're outside the confines of the Constitution, you're on your own. Even though you've got a gun and a badge, you're on your own as soon as you step across that boundary. Don't you listen to what those Jew judges and Jew lawyers and Jews downtown in City Hall are telling you, because they'll make it like you can do anything you want. You've got a gun and a badge. Here's what we the people say to you. You took an oath of office. When you step beyond the Constitution, you are on your own.
Amen.
Just remember that, folks, when they tell you, men in uniform, whether you're military or police, that you're going to come confiscate our weapons, you're on your own. Anything else, guys?
I think that's all I got today.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else. Randy, you still with us, or do we lose you? I've got another caller. Let me bring in our caller here, and then I'll grab you guys back. Gary, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Ah, okay. Very good.
I had a hard time getting a hold of you. It's only taken me almost 2 hours to get a hold of you.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's because the numbers didn't work. You know, you call them in, and then it says dial in the code number. So you dial in the code number and press whatever it says, and then the recording comes back on and say do it again. You just keep doing that. So finally we had to get a hold of the operator to whoever runs the show, and they gave us numbers and did all kinds of stuff so I can finally get to talk to you at the end of the show.
Well, let me ask a question then for other people that may be having this problem. Did they tell you what the hell was going on? Because other people were able to get in with the normal codes.
Hold on a minute, I'll let you check this.
It's our phone service. It seems they have control over it. That's what she said.
Really?
Yeah. So they might already censor it, the phone service that we have.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So she gave me a back phone number, though, to get in through them, so that worked.
Oh, well, I'll be darned.
Yeah.
So you called customer service and got them to help you out?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, very good. Well, I'm sorry it had to take that much effort, but I'm glad you were persistent.
Well, the sad commentary is here we got a major corporation, Cox, okay, cutting off things that they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
You see, well, that's hate speech. No, it's them that endorse hate speech, because anytime you go against the Word of God, He's the one that set up this country, not them.
Right.
They have a little problem with that. You know, Jesus is king, not them. And they like to try and take over His throne. And, of course, one of the things that we have to remember, and the Scriptures tell us this, plain as the nose on my face, and it's big. Well, it's not big anymore. It was flat. But anyway, is that that Lucifer, or Satan, whatever you want to call him, is the prince of the air. And we speak over the airways. He's the prince. So he's going to do whatever he can to control it, and he does. You know, until our king comes back and knocks this prince out, we're in trouble from that perspective. Okay, there's another thing that I want to say. When you guys were talking about racism, I have a sister who has a daughter, my niece, and this niece married a black guy. And I went over to talk to my sister about it. I said, that's not right. I said, you can't let her back in the house, and said things like that. And she said, no, what's going to happen is you're no longer part, she's part of your family. She ain't part of. I says, my people don't have little black babies. So I haven't spoke to her now for 20 years.
Wow.
You know, and of course I got other family and they all know it. But, there's some things that you just can't accept. Christ doesn't accept it. And I'm a child of the King, so why should I?
Well, yeah, but Gary, it's like we were just saying, the people that get into the lifeboats at the end of the age are the people that believe that Yahweh's word matters. Unfortunately, your family, like many of our family members, they don't care.
Yeah, so, just like my grandson, I only have one grandson, okay? And my son, he died when he was 40, this is quite a while ago now, of alcohol poisoning. And many times I told him, well, I didn't raise him. His mother did, and she raised him. I never had any contact with him until he was 21. And so he comes in because he's had a hard time finding me, I guess. And I told him, I said, we don't drink or do any kind of drugs in this household. Okay, Dad. But then sometimes I'd find things coming up missing. Where'd that go? But then I come to find out that he's drinking and drugging, so I said, you got to go. Well, anyway, him and his wife, they had a boy, and this boy, he recognized me, he knows who I am, Grandpa, he calls me, and he was the one that got a hold of me when his dad passed on. He moved with his mother in Arizona, and he told me he's got his own business. I said, well, that's great. He's an entrepreneur, he says. And he says, I'm an artist. And I never heard too many artists making a lot of money. And so I said, really? And he goes, yeah. He owns a tattoo shop. And then he tells me he has 13 tattoos on him. I says, have you ever read, because I, up until he was 5 years old, he stayed in my house. He knows I'm a Christian. So he says, I said, did you ever read the Scriptures to find out what it says about tattoos on your body? Oh, no, God says it's okay. So I went through and got them all and then quoted them to him. He ain't called me since.
Right.
That's just the way it goes.
Yep.
What can I say? I mean, I would like to have, he's got all these tattoos on him. I mean, might be too late. I don't know. That's up to Christ. It's not up to me. It's up to him to repent, not me. I can't repent for him. But that's one thing right there. When you guys were talking about the kids, and then the black with the whites, and then I saw that movie just now coming out by Dennis Prager. Okay, and what's that movie, honey?
No Safe Places.
Okay, it talks about, especially talking about the First Amendment on freedom of speech. Okay, and it's shown in the colleges where you're not allowed to speak. They'll hurt you. And you're allowed to do it. Okay, but the main thing that he was talking about through this whole flick on freedom of speech was Jews. The Jews can't do this. The Jews can't do that. Of course, Dennis Prager is a Jew. He's an intellectual Jew. He sort of sees things our way somewhat, but he's the typical Jew. That's who he's going to protect. He didn't jump in there and say about the Christians being killed like you guys just said about thousands being killed. He didn't jump in there and say that. He didn't jump in and say how the Jews shut the Christians up. He didn't get in there and say how the Jews own the media. He didn't say that, but he brought out where freedom of speech can't be talked on the college campuses. Now, it was a two-hour movie, and from the perspective of this freedom of speech, okay, it was a fairly good movie. You probably have to see it, Dan. I appreciate it. Except that I could tell it was all about the Jews.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay? Yep. Amen. Hey, Gary, Randy wants to come back in. I'm going to bring him back on, then I'll re-click on you.
Okay.
Okay, Randy, can you hear me?
Yeah, I'm back. Praise God. God love our technology.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to say this software that they've got us using now is a little different. So some of the problem is that, but not all of it. Sometimes it's just the phone companies and all that.
If they want to stop us, they're going to have to try harder.
Well, they're not going to stop us, okay? We've been at this for a long time, and not going to stop. So they can try, but Father said that he's going to support his people that have enough courage to take a stand and do the right things. He comes in there, and sometimes it's supernatural help. Sometimes he has angels that are in flesh and blood. Angel is from Angelos. Angelos means a messenger. A messenger can be supernatural or it can be a person. So all of us that are doing the good work, he has people on our side helping, whether it's through prayer, financial, information sharing, whatever. Having our back physically, helping to guard us and to make sure that there's perpetrators that are going to pay a price if they try to do anything. But the point of it is, it's all part of a team. It's all part of a great big family. And that's what the white race has been totally missing for so many decades. It's almost pathetic, is the bonding of family. They've got us divided on so many different levels. It's unbelievable. And we got to shake that off. And remember, I don't really care what your accent is, where you park your ass at night, whether it's in France or Germany or Australia or the United States. Doesn't matter. You're my family. Okay, it's our family in South Africa that are being murdered and persecuted by the blacks there. Not a word in this Jewish-controlled press. Okay, but our Russian brethren are opening the door. They just allowed 15,000 South African refugees to leave there, white refugees, to leave South Africa and find sanctuary in Russia. How many have we brought here to the United States? We want to put the Russians down, but they opened the door for 15,000 South Africans. All we do is keep talking about how great the murderer, the communist, Mandela, and his murdering bitch wife were. Okay? We can't say enough good about that murdering communist. And in this case, it applies, nigger, all right? That's all they want to talk about over here while they're murdering white farmers over there, okay? Talk about killing the goose that lays a golden egg. They don't have enough sense to know that they're killing the very people that gave them the civilization that they're living in.
And look what the communists are doing anytime that we talk about trying to secure our nation's borders. Oh, they want to send them all across the ocean, but oh, we can't build a wall. We can't put troops on our own borders, they say. Come on.
Right.
Well, game's over.
Well, we're near the end. That's why I say everybody should be on high alert right now. Whether anything happens with Seattle today or not, that's inconsequential to me. We know that they want a new Pearl Harbor. It will have to be something more terrific than what happened on 9/11 because everybody's woke up to that, and that traumatized us to a point. So they got, in order to get the Americans to wave flags and turn their brains off, it's going to have to be much bigger than what happened in New York on 9/11. So that's why everybody's antenna should be up right now and looking for suspicious activity. We know there was a lot of suspicious activity before every one of these false flags. At Waco, the FBI and police were there the day before. The police were handing out videotapes to the media to make sure they got everything on videotape. Okay? So there were signs. It was all staged. The same thing with 9/11. The Israelis, they showed up down there in the building and were planting charges and doing all kinds of reconnoitering of the building. The day of 9/11, the Israelis didn't show up for work. Larry Silverstein, for the first time ever, didn't show up for going up to have breakfast in his penthouse at the top of the tower. Okay? Little indicators. Just watch your enemy, what they're doing. Look at the trading on the stock market by all the Israelis right before 9/11. Okay? There were indicators if you were paying attention, and that's what we need to be paying attention to now. Watch the enemy and what he's doing. Watch what he's saying. Watch where he's hiding.
Pastor, the thing that you said early in the program was 90% of the Caucasians, I guess, are going to go or something. You said something about 90%.
90% probably won't make it through the fire.
Okay, well, if you go to the scriptures in Ezekiel, okay, he says one-third will make it. In other words, two-thirds is going down. Two-thirds
right.
of Israel is going down. So what you said is proper, except it's two-thirds, I think, instead of 90%. That's still a lot, two-thirds. That's 66%.
Well, right, but
they'll be annihilated.
That, that's
all
the
these
true
guys
Israelite.
That are running around that are being Judeo-Christians and the Jews are great and they don't read what's going on, and when you try to tell them something, they call you stupid, ignorant, and you name it. It's like that one time when I was in a meeting, and after the meeting, this guy was up there and he wanted to put a motion in, and he was being stupid and yelling and using the F word quite frequently in front of this lady that was a secretary. And he told me to go F myself, and I told him I didn't know how to do that. He would have to show me. And he really got going. So then, after he simmered down for a minute, this blue-eyed blonde comes in, and she built, you know, quite well. And she says, "Who's the racist in here?" And then, of course, this guy says, points at me, says, "Yeah, he's the racist." And she says, she tried to tell me, first she asked me, "Are you better than, you know, you've heard that story?" I said, "No, I don't know about that." She says, "Well, where are you getting this at?" I says, "Out of the Bible." You know, and she told me, "Well, I have two black kids. What's going to happen to them?" I don't know. "You'll have to go read the scriptures and see what it has to say." She says, "Well, you give me one place in the Bible where it says anything about blacks and whites." And I said, "Well, try Deuteronomy 23:2. You know, a bastard shall not enter into the kingdom even to his tenth generation. You know,
right.
And you figure it out for yourself." Well, you can imagine how popular I was around that place, because right in the front there where she came from is a store. You know, it's a small store. Smells gadgets and all that stuff. So I wasn't popular at all, because this guy accused me of being a racist. He just accused me. Okay, and I told him I followed the scriptures. So next thing you know, I'm a bad guy because Jesus loves everybody. Well, that's not true. There's a part in there where he says, you know, he has enmity against Esau forever. Enmity means hate. So there's other parts in there you can pick up. I mean, what does it say in Romans 1? That he loves the homosexuals? I don't think so. He sort of hates them. So, I mean, you go through the scriptures, you're going to find out if you don't follow Christ, you're not like it. You ain't going to make it. And that's pretty simple to me.
Yahweh wasn't very well liked either, and they nailed him to the cross. So that's to be expected.
That's true.
Yeah, Dan, doesn't Jesus love everybody?
Yeah, sure.
Well, it's like all those churches that have a sign out there that says everyone's welcome. Well, that's not true.
Well, everything today is upside down. That's for sure. So, and it's not just the race mixed ones either. If you go read Deuteronomy 23:2, it starts out in verse 1. It talks about he who is emasculated by either crushing or cutting shall not enter into Yahweh's assembly. How many emasculated white people do we have today? We got a ton of them. A person born of a forbidden union shall not enter into Yahweh's assembly, even to the 10th generation. Okay? A forbidden union. There's a lot of forbidden unions. Okay? How many of our guys have married first cousins or sisters, or some of these morons are even trying to get permission to marry their parents and idiotic things like that? So, you know, we got a lot of people that are violating his law. They're not going to get into boats. I don't know how many times I have to say it. The lifeboats are getting prepared right now. You're on the Titanic, folks. It's taking on water in so many different areas, it's unbelievable that we're even still afloat. But the Titanic is getting ready to go down. The lifeboats are being assembled. The question is, are you going to be in one or not?
Well, you know,
you got to make up your mind, folks.
Well, you know, Pastor, I know this, well, I call him girl, because she's a woman, you know, because she's in her 50s, I think, and blue-eyed, blonde hair, she's Irish, and she's married to a Mexican, and she has two boys, which would be mixed breeds, and she says, well, what's going to happen to me? I says, I don't know. You have to go to the scriptures and see that for yourself. Well, she's a Catholic, you know, like most Irish from New York are. And she just sort of shined it on. But she did take it into her heart. She just doesn't know what to do about it. You know, she's got two kids. You know, you have to repent. How are you going to repent? You know, I don't know. You know, it's, she's got the problem, not me. And, you know, I said, that's just pure race mixing. She knows that.
Well, part of the repentance is accepting the fact that you made a mistake and even asking for help in what to do about it. She should reach out to the elders, and the elders and her go into prayer and see how the Father leads them.
There are many of
our people have committed that sin. We got guys married to Jewish women. We've got people that their children are married to other races. I mean, our people have been in disobedience for so long that there's hardly a household that doesn't have some violation of his law somewhere. It's pathetic.
True.
Okay.
That's true.
I got one of my children married a woman. They're not married now, but in her family, her dad and mom split. Her mom went off with a black guy. Her dad has very little to do with her, and her brother's a queer. I mean, you want to talk about a dysfunctional family, you got it right there, an encapsulation of that family. And
hold
you
on,
wonder
Elka
why people are screwed
you.
Up. Huh?
Elka wants to ask you something. Hold on.
Okay. What remedy does Yahweh show for apathy?
Apathy, you're going to be outside the boat. You're not going to be in the life raft. You have to be a caring heart. You can't love Yahweh and not care about what's going on in the world. You can't.
Yeah.
So if you're apathetic, it means you don't have the spirit of the Father in you. That's the way I look at it.
So how can you
Sodom and Gomorrah?
How can you encourage people to show courage and overcome fear?
increase their faith. Fear is a sign of a lack of faith. And so I would encourage them to get into a closer walk with the Father. When you walk and talk with the Father, it's hard not to have courage, because the Holy Spirit reinforces the fact that you're on the right path. And yeah, you may have some fiery darts thrown your way, some tribulation, but he promises that he will not forsake us. And in my own walk and the times that I've been in tribulation, I look back at it, yeah, it was fearful, and there were days that, you know, I was kind of paranoid and hiding behind locked doors and thinking that they were going to bust the door down. But I look back at it now and I realize he never left me. Those were my own fears. Those were my paranoia. You know, and when I did overcome the fear and take a step to do the right thing, there was some anxiousness there, no doubt about it. However, again, looking back across the years, good things came from it. Always good things came from it. I learned a lot. I found I had friends I didn't even know. Like when I went against the courthouse in New Jersey, I found out there was a police officer there who did not like what he was seeing. I found out my daughter had a good friend that worked for the court. She quit her job over what they did to me and the person I was helping. She quit. Wow. She walked away. She goes, what they did to your dad was wrong, and I'm not going to be a part of it. So, right. When we take a stand to do what's right and say, I'll take whatever consequences because my father is in control of what happens in my life, I'm just going to do the right thing. I'm not going to worry about what happens afterwards. That's a sign of true faith.
Yeah, and so and sometimes in my experience shows when we are an example and do the right thing, eventually other people will follow and see, oh, they were right. So
there you go.
Amen. Yeah. That's right. It's the old saying.
Persecuted being married with, oh, how can she be married to Gary and so forth, because they don't really know us as well, you know. So.
Right.
Let me add to that. Because what we're doing, because nobody wants, a lot of people don't want to be the first one, right? So when we're out there on the front lines and we're fighting these battles, other people will join because then they feel safe to do so. That's just the nature of our people.
Yeah. Johnny,
but
come
we have to be the ones to lead the charge.
Right. Yeah, I was thinking, we live in Southern California. I think the front lines are over here. We are fighting the enemy on the front lines, and a lot of people who leave are actually cowards, in my mind. So what do you think?
Can I add
that?
Something to that? You've got a young bisexual resigned from Congress headed back your way. Watch out.
Oh yeah.
Katie Hill. She's recently resigned and she's gone back to California as a disgraced congresswoman.
Right.
Sexual deviant.
Yeah, we live in an enclave.
So, millions of people have left California. She's the only one I know that's moving back.
Yeah. Well, here's Gary.
Okay.
Yeah, she didn't leave. In a roundabout way, she did. She went to D.C. And showed off California. You know, and we're down here, and it's, you got to figure there's about 30 million non-whites in this country right now that have been let in. They don't speak English. You know, you go on down the line. I mean, Mexicans, I mean, they're hanging off the rafters. Tons of them. And you go into a lot of places around here, it's all Mexicans. I asked this one Mexican one time, I said, did you have to, spoke you know, English to where you didn't know it had an accent. And I says, you went in to be a asked that you had to be bilingual for this job? Oh yeah, you had to speak two languages. That's what he said. I says, okay. I says, now my wife is bilingual. You think she could get a job? Oh yeah. You tell her to come in and fill out the paperwork. And I said, yeah, but she speaks German. Oh. No,
yeah.
They don't want that. See, now wait a minute. It says bilingual. It doesn't say what language. It just says bilingual.
Yeah.
And I know in both of your guys' states it says the same thing. So, wait a minute, if I speak another language besides Mexican, I can't get a job. Of course, now if you're up there where those Somalis live, I guess you have to speak Somali. You know, why are we letting all these blacks on our land? I mean, you guys have already covered Russia. I mean, I already said 2 years ago, I think Russia's more Christian than this nation.
Well, that's why they're being brought in, because they want to destroy Yahweh's people, and that's us. That's why they're being brought here, to destroy us.
Right. Well, and then what Yahweh does is he finds another place to hide us. You know, who would ever think that?
Yeah, there's no place to run to anymore, brother.
It's going to turn around. It's going to turn around. The sons of the Most High are going to be manifested. Ezekiel 37 is going to come into play, and then Obadiah 18 right after that. So that's what's coming. That's what's coming. In the meantime, you sit in your lifeboats in this sea of slime that we find ourselves in until the day of the manifestation of the sons, and the righteous army rises up out of that valley of dead and dry bones and starts doing to the enemy what should have been done for a long time.
Hallelujah.
Well, you know, as you look at the formation of this country, first of all, the Civil War was fought by white people, Caucasians, okay? There was a few Jews involved in there because they had money. And then after that part was done, then they formed the Constitution. That again was done by Caucasians. The only one in there that appears to be the problem was Hamilton. Of course, Hamilton was a banker's boy. And so that Constitution was put together by Caucasians. And it even says in there, in the day of the Lord and all kinds of things. You know, it didn't say in the day of Allah, says the Lord. And that meant Jesus Christ. So then the part in there, this is to our prosperity, all that stuff. So that's who put it together. I didn't see any blacks in there. You know, I didn't see any at all in there trying to put this together. Of course, most of them weren't too sharp at that time because they were never educated. And they could say that's our fault because we didn't educate them. Well, we're educating them now, and they're still the same. They're getting worse. So, and I didn't see any Indians in there either. There's plenty of those around. And in the Constitution, it doesn't mention the blacks, the Indians, the Mexicans, the Hindus. It doesn't mention any of those people.
No,
it doesn't say Allah. It says the Lord. Okay, we've been taught that the Lord, of course, means Christ.
The Declaration of Independence does reference the savage Indians.
Well, John Jay in Federalist Paper Number 2 tells you who the men referred to in our organic documents is, and it's the white men. Real quick, I want to bring John in Miami here onto the call. So, okay, John, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yep, you're coming in loud and clear.
Oh, this is great. Someone just mentioned 30 million non-whites in this country right now. My belief, and I've heard it a few times, it could be 50 million. Maybe a little more than that, but I believe it's 50 million.
So you're saying that you believe it's a whole lot more than what they're telling us?
Oh, my goodness, yes, of course.
Well, that's because I heard that on the radio.
Well, just because they
tell us the truth.
Well, just because they, whoever they are, say on the radio it's 30 million. I mean, the old number was 10 million, but no, I always knew it was more than 10 million. I think it has to be 50 million non-whites, but rather legal and illegal immigrants and non-whites. I believe it's 50, maybe 60 million, and it's increasing every day. Just the other day, I heard that there's something that the more Cubans might be coming down here to South Florida. And, well, Commander Dan, you know who they are. Well, we know who they are. But we could be getting a more Cubans here because there are a lot of families down here in South Florida where you and me are located where Cubans want to be reunited with family members. It's like the Cubans that are here that are citizens that would go down to Cuba and visit family members would like to get those other family members out of Cuba and bring them here. This is going to be another problem.
Why not send them back to Cuba and free Cuba?
You know, that's, of course, we should do that all day long. It ain't happening that way. All the countries are sending their people over here, destroying this country. After they've destroyed it, then what's going to happen? You know,
well, you got to remember the Jews doing what their father wants them to do. The adversary, Satan, whatever term you want to use, they're doing what he wants, and he wants a flood in after the children of Rachel, which is indicating us, the Israelites, the white Caucasian Israelites. So the flood is exactly what Scripture said was going to happen. It's Satan and his kids that are behind it. And the purpose is to do exactly what it's doing, is to cause us to fall into race mixing and idolatry, which we have done willingly. But there is a remnant that is waking up. Just like the Scripture says, at the end of the age, he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, meaning his flesh, and they will awaken. That valley of dead and dry bones is starting to shake. The sinew and the bone are starting to come back together, figuratively, of a spiritual awakening. The white race, and again, it doesn't have to be all the white race. We're going to have a whole lot of our families that aren't going to make it. Just accept that. But the ones that are going to make it, that valley of dead and dry bones that becomes a vast and mighty army, is starting to happen right now. And once it reaches the tipping point, it is going to go across this nation like a fire, and all of these interlopers, all of these invaders are going to wish they stayed the hell out of this country.
Yeah, stayed where they were. You know, Pastor, I was sort of having words. It was a conversation with another white girl that had black kids, and she says, you know, those are God's creation. And I said, excuse me? She said, those are God's creation. I says, first of all, I said, I can't find that in the Scripture. I can find in the Scripture what they're called. I says, but he didn't create that. You stepped outside of his word, went with that black guy, ended up having his kids. I says, those kids are not black, and they're not white. God created that black guy. God created you white. You know, you and him decided to get together and play God and have those. Not
right.
God. God didn't create those. You guys did. So, and he's
sometimes
got...
you just got to touch your feet and walk away, brother.
Commander Dan, hello,
yeah,
hello.
Go ahead, John.
Commander Dan, tattoos, I'm listening to the program all morning here. The tattoos were mentioned here. I've
right.
spoken with this to you recently, but more and more and more every day when I'm out in town, I mean, I have seen more people down here in South Florida, Miami, with tattoos. Men, women, young men, young women, especially amongst the Latino Cuban crowd and other Latinos or other Central American immigrants coming here. But I have seen so many tattoos all over these people, their shoulders, their bodies, their hands, everything. And it's really prevalent amongst a lot of these Cuban or Latinos that are down here or Cuban Americans. But this thing about the tattoo is getting really, really ridiculous. I don't have tattoos on my body, not even one. Not a one. I don't believe in that. But to see all these Latinos, whether they are Latino, white, or whatever, it just shocks the heck out of me. Why do they want to put artwork on their bodies? Why do they do this? Why?
Well, because, first of all, the Holy Spirit isn't speaking to them, and they have no respect for their body, because if they did, they wouldn't put poisons in it. It's not just the Scripture that they're violating. It's common sense and natural law. I went to certified natural health professional classes, and one of the things they taught you is what that does to your body, and it's easy to prove it, because when you go down to give blood, what's one of the things they ask you? Have you recently had a tattoo?
That's right.
Because it goes right into the bloodstream, and whatever you're polluting the blood, and what's in the blood? Life is in the blood. That's right. So why in the hell would you purposely put something in your body that will pollute the very thing that gives you life? That's insane.
Well, that's
insane.
One of the things that they don't teach in the schools, Pastor, is these things. The only thing they teach you in schools is how to put a rubber on a banana. So
This is
oh my
this God. Crazy stuff going on out here. You know, it's not taught. I mean, when I went to school, they taught us that stuff. You know, the only people that had tattoos was these sailors. They'd go overseas and get drunk and have a tattoo put on. But that was the only ones. And I remember my parents at the time. My dad was in the Navy. He said, "You're not supposed to do that." You know, because he says, our church, and he didn't go to church, but he was raised in the church. You don't do that.
It's
not good for you. That's all he would say. So guess what I never did? Put a tattoo on. Why? Because they don't belong there.
Right.
Gary, I was in the Navy, and I can testify to that. I saw a lot of young men, whatever base, naval base I was on, ship I was on, a lot of sailors, I mean lots and lots of them, had all those tattoos on them. If it's not on one arm, then it's on the other one, sometimes two and three, but there are a lot of sailors in our Navy that have all these tattoos all over them, and that's sad.
And they got them in Japan, mostly.
And how many of these military men have jumped off those ships and went down to the foreign whorehouse?
Yeah.
Just saying.
They do that too.
I do a lot of research.
Well,
let me tell you something. Norfolk Naval Base, there are a few tattoo parlors outside of Norfolk Naval Base. I've been at the Miramar Naval Air Station, which is now the Marines have that, down in San Diego. There are a lot of tattoo parlors in San Diego there.
Oh, tons of them.
It doesn't have to be Japan or for the Philippines. Where the Philippines also has them. It doesn't have to be there. They can get them all right here in America. It doesn't matter where it is.
Right.
We got.
I wanted to ask, in San Diego County, mentioned it. What's going on with the Marines? Have they actually been called up or activated or not?
Well, the ones that protect the president have been called up, to my understanding.
Anybody else have any info on that?
Well, did you hear what I said?
I haven't heard anything or read anything yet.
Okay, Gary, go ahead.
Well, to my understanding, a whole bunch of Marines have been called up. They're the ones that protect the president. And are going to be placed around him to protect him. You know, he's the commander in chief. I can certainly understand that. And
well, he certainly created a lot of enemies. That's a given.
Yes, yeah. He sure has. And he has plenty of
them. Okay. The other question I've got is: I heard that he's moved operations out of D.C. back to Florida or something similar to that.
He's down there to protect you, Pastor Dan.
Yeah, right.
Commander Dan, he is switching his residence, and he and his first lady wife are switching their residence from New York or Trump Tower down here to West Palm Beach, where he's got his Mar-a-Lago home.
Oh, okay. So he's,
well, one of
his official residence is being changed.
Yes.
Well, the reason for that is taxes. And they want to even tax him some more. They don't like him in New York. They're doing all kinds of things to him. So for his protection, he decided he'd move down there to Florida where it's a little safer. But one of the guests here said there's a whole bunch of Cubans moving in. That might not be too good either. So he's going down there because New York is terrible. I'm glad he recognized that finally. It's safer in Miami with the Cubans than it is in New York. New York has everything. So he didn't like that hodgepodge, I guess. And he didn't like it.
Yeah, Gary, you're right about that. It is I don't want the Cubans here, but they're already here. However, you're right. He would be better off or much safer down here with the Cubans. But I'll tell you, these Cubans are a bunch of crazy clowns.
They're the same thing as here. Here in San Diego, we got Mexicans hanging off the rafters, and they'll hurt you. People don't understand. These Mexicans, Pedro's a nice guy. He wants to go over and do your gardening.
No, Pedro will come over and do your gardening, and he also don't leave your garage door unlocked, because all the stuff in your garage will be in Pedro's garage, and they'll hurt you. You go walking through.
Don't a lot of people go down to Florida this time of the year to escape the cold winters?
Yes, snowbirds.
I mean, maybe that's all he's doing. Who knows?
Well, there has to be some reason behind it. I mean, at this late stage in the game, it's kind of funny that, you know, he was a resident of New York. It didn't bother him up till now. But now all of a sudden he's going to move residency down here. It just seems kind of odd. It may not be nothing to it, but it just seems odd. That's all. I was curious.
Well, back then, I mean, they loved him because, you know, he would do things for him and it just generated a lot of money. But now he's upset at the. It's like, you know, the hornets and the bees and whatnot. They're pretty, you know, they just kind of swarm around and do their thing. But if you go around with a stick and you go knocking around their home, they come after you, right?
Oh yeah.
So, he's got a lot of hornets after him. And yeah. Well, I'm not. You know, I mean, I have some strong disagreements with President Trump, but I mean, he's definitely knocked the hornets around quite a bit. They're going to come. They're going to stay.
Understand?
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah, do you or anybody else listening here, do you all think that Donald Trump might really end up being impeached or removed from office?
No.
I think he'd be impeached.
Bill Clinton was impeached, but they didn't actually remove him. No, it's all staged, phony, you know, just nonsense. They're not going to actually remove him.
Okay. Right.
They're going to impeach him, but the Senate is not going to remove him. He's just going to be a president that's been impeached like Clinton. That really didn't hurt Clinton too much. And what they want to damage him as much as they can. I mean, this guy, I can understand why he'd be running scared. In other words, not doing the things that he said he was going to do. Because check out his family. He's got a wife. He's got a son. He's got another son, a daughter. I mean, and grandchildren. Those people will kill him. They'll fuck up and say, we'll kill your family. You know, you don't do it our way, you know. Your wife's dead, your son's dead, your son's dead, your daughter's dead.
Yeah, but we can't live in fear, though.
Well, here's my problem with that, okay? He ran for the job, okay? If you're going to run for the job and you get the job, then do the job. And don't tell me, with his intellect and his connections, he didn't know that this kind of pressure was going to come if he took the job. I mean, that you'd have to be an imbecile not to know that the swamp's not going to try to stop you. So if you're going to do the job, then do it. People keep making excuses, and I'm tired of it. Our Father told us to judge people by their fruits and don't listen to their words. Okay, all these speeches, campaign promises, the current POTUS is just as guilty as the past ones of making all kinds of promises, and then the very first thing he does as soon as he's elected is he goes back on some of the promises. And they're promises that he could have easily fulfilled, okay? So stop making excuses for the guy. Either do the damn job or step down and get out of the way. But here's the problem. Washington's not going to fix Washington, folks. Wake the hell up. I don't care who's in Washington. Washington is not going to fix Washington. You're asking the broke system to fix the broke system. That's like asking the guy that just ran into the back of your car if he would mind fixing your bumper for you. Are you crazy? The guy that destroyed your yard with his rototiller, you're going to ask him to now go do the front yard. What are you thinking, people? Yahweh's sitting here going, what the hell are my people doing? You've got interlopers. You've got liars, misfits, murderers, rapists, pornographers running the show. It's called a cacistocracy. And you're going to the cacistocracy and saying, would you please fix the cacistocracy? Okay? What does cacistocracy mean? It means those people that you have now in the position of public servants are the worst elements of your society. Not the best, not the best intentioned, not the most integrity, the worst. And you're asking them to fix the problem. I'm going to go back to what we said 10 years ago. If by God's good graces we have good military left, they need to step up now. The politicians are done for. There are no good ones left. I don't trust any of them. Where the hell are the white hats in the military? Our republic is dying. It's time to come up and ask the constitutional sheriffs to work with the militia, and let's clean our house. It's time for a house cleaning. At the
Pastor,
end of a bayonet.
Pastor, you know, the all these Democrats that are running for president, the only one that appears to me to be worth to be running against Trump and maybe even beat Trump is that congresswoman from Hawaii. She's up there telling some truth.
Yeah, but and of course, she's also a liberal, so forget it.
Oh, I know that, but she's the only one that's saying something that's worthwhile.
Everything in Washington, D.C. is kabuki theater, okay? Everything. Everything coming across the flat screen, images controlled by the beast, is kabuki theater for your mental chewing gum. It's diversion. Forget it. We need to focus on what did the Father tell us? What is the Holy Spirit telling you? Nothing's going to get fixed until Yahweh's people fix it. The swamp is not going to fix the swamp. How many people running on either side of the aisle represent white Anglo-Saxon true believers in Yahweh men? How many? How many? Who represents us? Who represents us in Washington right now? Who? Anybody?
I can tell you who said that they do. That's all.
No. I'm talking about actually represent you and me as white, Anglo-Saxon males who follow the Aryan Christ, known as the identity message. Who follow the? How many of us are represented in the swamp?
There's none of it. The only one that was close, Pastor, to doing this was Congressman Steve King out of Iowa. And they're calling him all kinds of names. You know, he was conservative, and they're calling him racist and everything.
Well, what do we expect our enemy to do? Praise us? Do we expect our enemy to say, welcome in, I'll step down, I'm bilking trillions of dollars from these stupid cattle, on a yearly basis, trillions of dollars. Yeah, just come on in and stop it. We'll be okay. Yeah, I don't care. Go ahead and take your country back. We got all your daughters in our whorehouses. We got our drugs coming in by the airplane loads from Afghanistan and other Indonesian countries through the CIA and the government. We're selling it to your children and overdosing them, making trillions of dollars. Yeah, we'll stop. No problem. We expect that from our enemy?
No,
I want them to think that they need to stop us. I want them to go to bed at night wondering if it's us that's going to break their damn door down. That's what needs to happen. When the government fears you and me, that's liberty. That's what the Founding Fathers said. Okay? Let's turn the thing around. I'm tired of living in fear of my public servants. Let's turn it around to where they go to bed at night wondering if the righteous men might not come knocking on their door and dragging their sorry asses in front of three righteous men sitting in tribunals over them. Let's see the cop like the sheriff up there that Randy was talking about. Let's see him argue his case in front of three men like us that are sitting on the tribunal with the Bible opened up. Okay, Sheriff, explain to us again your actions. Why are we supposed to show mercy to you? Explain it again to us. Forget about the swamp, because the swamp doesn't matter. It's us you need to worry about.
Well, Pastor,
Yahweh gave us that authority.
Pastor, you know, in the Second Amendment, yes, when it says about we have a right to carry guns. And it says also in there that the government shall not infringe upon. You know, that means
They can't talk this crap that they're doing now. We're going to take away your this or take away. No, they're not to infringe. I want to know why somebody's not placing them under arrest.
Because we're not there, Gary.
That's true.
We're not there. And that's what I hate to tell you guys. You are the cream of the crop. And you got to start realizing that. Because if you're not it, then who the hell is? If the people that know this message and that listen to this program and the ones that are out there listening to the downloads, if you're not the cream of the crop, then please tell me who the hell is. If you're not part of the solution to the problem, then tell me who is. And you wonder why the world keeps going to hell. It's because the righteous are still sitting around thinking that somebody else will be the white knight. You're the one that he put the sword in your hand. You're the one he gave the Holy Spirit to. You're the one who said, he said from on high, I bless you and anoint you as my sons. He didn't say that to the perverts. He didn't say that to the queers, the transgenders, the purple-headed morons and social justice warriors. He didn't say it to the treasonous communist Bolsheviks that run things. He didn't say that to any of those. They're his enemies. What did King David say to Yahweh in prayer? I hate your enemies with a perfect hatred, and I count them as my own. That's what he wants his sons to say. I hate your enemies with a perfect hatred.
That sure takes care of all these ones that say Jesus loves everybody, doesn't it?
Nowhere in Scripture did Christ say, I love everybody. Nowhere. That's all man-made kabuki theater mental construct that they put out as if those are the words of Christ. Christ never uttered those words, not once. Not one time did he ever utter anything even remotely close to that.
Well, the thing that you just said about King David, if you was to mention that to some of these clowns that I've seen out here, they say, oh, that's the Old Testament.
Well, then let them try to get into the lifeboat without the Old Testament. Let's see what happens. Okay.
That's what's going to hold them out.
All right. As they explain that to the King of Kings, and he's controlling who gets in the lifeboats or not, just like he did with Noah, let them explain to the King of Kings why they threw out his law and believed the lying preacher down at the church when he said the law was done away with. Okay? They can explain that. I'm not letting them in the boat. If Yahweh doesn't personally say, let them in the boat, I'm not letting them in the boat. You don't believe the Old Testament applies? Then get the hell out of my boat. The law applies. When it says he fulfilled the law, it means he fulfilled the portions, not the whole law, the portions that dealt with sacrifice and needing a priest to represent you to the King of Kings. You don't need the priest anymore. That's why the curtain was torn between the Holy of Holies and the outside. You have access to the King of Kings yourself. You don't need a priest. We don't need to kill innocent animals for sacrifice of sin. They don't need to bleed red because of our misdoings. He did away with that. He said, I am the perfect sacrifice. So he fulfilled those ordinances. He didn't take away all the other rules. That's ludicrous. Who in the hell would believe such a thing?
Well, Pastor, you know, you said the red was killed. What's amazing is the Democrat Party is the party of red. You know, they want to turn things red. Red here. So when you said that, I mean, that just lit a light went on in my head. The Democrat Party considers himself red. Of course, so does the Chinese. They consider themselves reds also. Communists consider themselves reds. And communism was written by, guess who? Karl Marx. What was he? He was a Jew. His daddy was a Jew. His daddy-in-law was a Jew. I mean, it goes on down the line. Red is their color.
Red has always been their color. What does Esau Edom mean?
Red.
Red has always identified them. That's the irony in America. They show the flag, they show the map of the United States, and they put the Democrat areas in blue and the people of Yahweh in red. It's them trying to do predictive programming. They're trying to put the red onus on us because they know red is associated with evil, and so they're trying to do that. Whoever came up with that was obviously Jewish. All right? We should be the blue because blue is much more closer to the Israelite color than red. Red is always associated with evil. That's why the Bolshevik terror of Russia, as Alexander Solzhenitsyn says, they were called the Reds. The Bolsheviks were called the Reds. The terror that murdered millions upon millions of innocent Christian men, women, and children was called the Red Terror. That's why their flag is red. The communists of China carried what? The Red Book. Mao Zedong's Red Book. All right? They identify themselves for us if we have enough sense to pay attention to what the hell's going on. By their words and even by their symbology.
Pastor, Elka found something. She wants to read it to you. Hold on.
Yeah, I'm just searching a little bit. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does.
Amen. 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 And I'm here to tell you that is the story of my life. The more I trust the Father, the more I try to do things in alignment with His Word, the more blessed I am. Now, do I have a lot of money? No. Do I have a great big 7,000-square-foot house? No, I don't. But am I blessed? Yeah. I think I'm the most blessed man that walks on the face of this earth because my riches come in a different form than everybody else's. I have communication with the Father every single day of my life. How in the hell would money ever buy something better than that? How the hell would all the armies of the earth buy something better than that? To have a conversation with the King of Kings and the guy who knows everything that's going on. Every single day. Every single day. And here's the best part. Everybody has a right to have that same communication. All of his children have that right. Why aren't they talking to him? Why are we going to the swamp, asking the swamp to fix the swamp? Father said, you guys, when you guys come together, when you men decide it's over, it will end. When you men decide to put your bickering and backstabbing to the side and work together like a team, it ends for them. So we are the ones that are holding up the show. We men have to learn how to be brothers at arms again. A band of brothers, a band of Israelite brothers who have said, we are the solution to this problem. Not some other group, not the swamp, not government, not politics, not colleges and no. All those PhDs and master's degrees don't mean a damn thing. It's the sons who carry the Father in their hearts. And when they work together as a team, there ain't nothing on this earth that can stop them. That is the facts. When we decide, you and me guys, and this word is going to go out to thousands upon thousands upon thousands of our brothers out there. When we decide it's enough and we're tired of it, we can fix this problem. We just have to stop letting them divide us with all of the garbage that's being put out there, whether it's our children, our women, the aliens amongst us. When we stop worrying about what all those people think and just think about us men, what are we willing to accept? We men need to put our heads together. We men need to form ranks. We men need to get our sharp swords and spears ready. We men have to decide what we will and will not tolerate. Not our women, not our children, not our non-white invaders, not certainly Satan's kids, the Jews. We, the white armed man, who still has a brain that even functions partially. We are it. Once we're gone, what do you think this world's going to be? What do you think is going to happen to all these people, not only the whites, but the non-whites as well? What do you think is going to happen when we, the righteous white man, is taken out of the picture completely? What do you think's left? I'll tell you what's left. Go to South Africa and see what happened there when they took the power away from the people that built South Africa, meaning the white men and women, particularly the white men. Go take a look at Rhodesia, which used to be, or is today, Zimbabwe, but it was Rhodesia. Go look at those two countries when the white man was taken out of authority. See how the white people are living there.
Yeah.
I talk to those people on a daily basis almost that lived over there. And let me tell you something. It's coming here. As you lose your power to these Jews and all of their lackeys in government, it's coming to this country as well. It's coming to Europe as well. Because we white men just can't seem to get our shit together. That's it. Using the vernacular. Okay? When we get our shit together, we can't be stopped. It's as simple as that, guys. That's it. When we decide we've had enough. So men at arms, are you paying attention to what I'm talking to you about? They're going to try to take your weapons. That's what you need to know. And that, if you don't have anything at all in your brain that works, take the few last brain cells that work and put this together. When they try to take your weapons, it's over. You either fight or become a slave. That's it. That's all you need to know. When they try to disarm you, you might as well just take your daughters and your sons and your wife out to the front yard and put a big sign on them, take them, because that's what they're going to do. Unless, of course, they decide to do like they did to the poor Russians 100 years ago, and they decide to make you an example, and they nail you to the side of your house while they rape, torture, and murder your family right in front of you, and then they go up and they put a knife into your throat while you're tied or nailed to the side of your house. That's what they did to the Russians. That's the mercy of the Jew Bolsheviks and what the Red Terror did to the Christians of Russia. That's what you want to see here in America? You want to see your neighbor or yourself nailed to the side of your house while your family is burned or tortured and raped in front of you? The Russians did. That's fact. That's only 100 years ago. That's what you want, America? That's what you want, England and Europe? Well, you let these monsters run free in your land, telling you what you will and will not accept? Because they've paid for our people in uniform to do their bidding? It'll change when we men get our shit together, okay? Done. There is no political solution. There is no voting a solution. It's done.
Pastor, I just wanted to bring up one thing while you were talking there. You said about the Bolsheviks and what they did to the women and the children, and while you were nailed to the wall in Russia. After World War II, the Americans would come into the city, no problems. But the women told the Americans to stay, please stay. Why? Because the Bolsheviks were coming in, and the Bolsheviks would rape the women. Mm-hmm. A lot of women, German women, would actually commit suicide so that they would get away from the Bolsheviks. So when you mention the Bolsheviks, that's a filthy word, you know, and I understand we have them here, we got them everywhere, so people don't understand who these people are. You just explained it. If they were to speak to some of the German women, they would find out also the same thing happened there. They feared the Bolsheviks. So we should be doing the same thing. They're nasty people.
People that don't study history are doomed to repeat it. If they studied the true history of the German SS, why do you think they want you to immediately just turn your brain and your curiosity off about the German SS the same way they do Adolf Hitler? Because they don't want you to know the truth. If you knew the truth about the German SS, you'd know it was the most moral army on the battlefield of any army on both sides. They were the most moral men out there. They were the most courageous men. They were the best soldiers. And they were strict anti-communists. That's why the Jew doesn't want you to know about them. The German SS was dedicated to destroying the communists. And the communists are who? Jews. Communism puts a lot of money in Jews' pockets, doesn't it? It gives them a mechanism to steal the wealth and prosperity of any country, including its people, its children. They hide behind communism. It's nothing more than Judaism, where the Jew gets in to take the Goyim's property, the Goyim's money, the Goyim's family. They call it Bolshevism, they call it communism. It's nothing more than Talmudism. And we allow them to do that. We actually allow them to steal our tax dollars and funnel it through their Jew banks over to the Bolsheviks so they can rape and murder more people, even into Indochina. Look at the Chinese people that suffer under communism. Do you think they ask for communism? Does anybody out there really actually believe the average Chinese person wants the Communist Party? Does anybody actually believe that? Who do you think put the communists in charge?
Pastor, I was just wanted to bring in one other thing that probably nobody paid attention to, and I do all the time. If you watch TV, you'll see the blue-eyed, blonde-haired woman, mainly probably German most of the time. Some of them are Irish. Okay, and when they're going with somebody on the television, or they're going to get married, or they already have a person, he's always a Jew. The tall, dark, you know, handsome, supposedly, they're Jews. Because it's out of New York. That's where all this stuff. Humphrey Bogart, Jew. Edward G. Robinson, Jew. And on down the line. And they're all going with our women.
Because you know, they got the money, Gary.
Yeah, that's what they talk about
okay.
The money, you know.
Look at the women going with the black athletes. Do you think they're going with them because they smell good and because they're better fathers? No, they have the money. The Jew makes sure the athletes get lots of money because that's what will get a lot of our women to go with them.
Well,
you can buy a lot of air filters and perfume and cologne with the money they got because that's what it takes to overcome that smell.
Yeah,
all right?
Well, that's true. All them black athletes have, you know, just like you just said, why do you think they put blacks out there, basketball players, football players? They had baseball, but they couldn't get all the blacks in there because they couldn't play good baseball like you can't football because it's all muscle. Basketball, I don't know why they're good at that. They all got white wives, and it's really sick because people say, "Well, you don't have to be part of that." I can't help it because this crap that falls out of that woman's rear end, they put into our society, and they tell my children, "There's nothing wrong with that." That's why my children didn't go to public school.
Well, let me bring Randy back in here. Okay, Randy, you got dropped off somehow. You there?
Hey, Charlie.
Oh, I thought you got knocked off.
Yeah, I'm still listening.
Oh, okay. Very good. Gary, you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, because like I said, the board here, sometimes it gives me confusing signals as to whether you're still there or not. But anyway, all right. Well, we're approaching the three-hour mark, so unless you guys have something else to get covered today, we're going to go ahead and close this one out and see what happens, whether Seattle becomes a reality or whether it was another one of those diversions. Any final remarks, Randy?
Well, I think we said quite a bit. I think the takeaway for today is that we don't back down. We engage the enemy. Praise Yahweh.
Praise Yahweh. Yep. So thanks for being on. Yahweh bless. Gary, final thoughts, bud.
Well, all the things that you and Randy and who was the other fellow that was there, John, said is fact. That's what's happening, and our country is going in the toilet. You know, they don't make a brush big enough to clean it out, I don't think. Only Jesus can do it. And he's going to. He said emphatically in a word, two-thirds. This is in Ezekiel. In Ezekiel, it says one-third will make it. So that means two-thirds have to go down. And that's what's going to happen. And I hope that that doesn't happen in Seattle because my brother lives up there. Of course, he lives 40 miles outside of Seattle, so, and he knows about it. So all this stuff, you just cannot go against God and think that you're going to get away with it. It just doesn't work that way.
No.
You know, a lot of people think, well, he died and he went against God. That's right, but he's before him right now. What do you think he's saying to him now? How wonderful he was? You know, these Jews? These Jews have been destruction forever. And I can remember when I thought they were God's chosen people. That's terrible thinking.
Well,
you know, after I found out the truth.
Yeah.
Just amazing how much you go into the Bible after you discover the truth. Once you find out who you are and who they are, things change.
Amen to that.
You just do, because then you start studying the Word, and you get out of the church you're in, and then you find out there's no churches around that believe like you do as a rule, because we're sort of scattered. And the one church that we had here that did believe somewhat like we did, the pastor and his wife passed away. She was 90 at the time, and he was 86. So, you know, their time was short. And it's hard to find, you know, you're not going to find a gathering, it appears like. You know, at that, once I had a little gathering here of about six people, but they usually disperse after a while. Just doesn't
mm-hmm.
And I find out in identity, we still all have different beliefs. Oh, no, believe it this way. Oh, no, believe it that way. You know, so there's a lot of confusion within identity itself.
Well,
so,
yep,
you know,
and they like to bicker about the inconsequential portions of the word. That's what happens then. People try to become Pharisees. They try to beat each other up with little minutia of interpretation here and there. When they miss the whole big gamut. They're straining at a gnat and swallow a camel. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right?
The only thing I can point out to these people is, what does it mean when it says, I come not for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, 15:24 of Matthew. What does that mean? Well, he's talking about coming for the Jews. I said, he knew how to say Jew. He didn't say Jew there. He said Israel. Okay, as far as we know, the northern 10 tribes were called Israel, so he only came for them. It appears to be that way because he never divorced the Jews or Judah. He never divorced them. They were still a bride. Not very many of them, but few. And so when he went to his bride, guess what they did? They hung him on a cross. Israel didn't do that. Okay, the northern 10 tribes. Who he came for, but the southern tribes did. They hung him. That was the one that he was still married to. So, they, you know, it's a good thing today we don't have divorce like they did then. Then when they wanted to divorce our king, they hung him. Today they just go to court and the women take all your money. But, and the children. But it's absolutely amazing that people can't see that. I come not for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. There were Israelites, by the way, that went in up there by England and all around in those isles that never come across the desert and never took the confirmation at that time. You know, they went up there. So those, why shouldn't those be part of the lost sheep? They are. So there's a lot of things that people don't understand. And when you have a Bible study and you say that, then all of a sudden you get tons of different answers. And then you just broke your Bible study up.
Well, we got to remember that, you know, when he traveled, he said that there would be those that you present the truth to and they don't want it, that knock the dust off your feet and keep on going. A lot of times we have these Bible studies and groups and all that. We have a mixed multitude, and you got to have a homogeneous group. To accomplish anything on this earth, it has to be homogeneous in makeup, okay? America's dying because we bought the diversity lie. Your church group is going to die if you buy the diversity lie. That's the trouble with the church world today. Just says everybody's welcome, every doctrine's welcome, every perversion's welcome, and guess what? They're dying, and they're of no effect. They're not fixing a damn thing. It's like Dave Dabemir, Coach Dabemir, said when his men went up to Columbus, Ohio, to protest Planned Parenthood and an abortion clinic. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of churches in that area. Not one member of their congregations, not one of their pastors came down to assist. Not one.
That's because they're 501c3.
Doesn't matter. They're ineffectual. They are the fake, the false church. And they're run by whores called preachers that come out of seminaries. Actually, they come out of cemeteries.
Right.
So, anyway, 3 hours is enough. I'm done. My voice is given out, and I'm ready to move on for the day. So, any final thing here, Gary?
Well, just want to praise Yeshua, because that's what we have to go through before we get to Yahweh. For you, and to continue to bless you, and to continue to keep you on the airways. And I ask this in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gary. Yahweh bless your heart, buddy. You and Elka, you guys take care, okay?
Okay, Yah bless.
Yah bless. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being with us all this time, and we pray this word will go out to all of our brothers and sisters that need to hear it. We're swimming in lies and deceit right now. There is a famine for the truth, as Scripture tells us. It's amazing how simple the truth is, and yet so many people can't seem to grasp it. But then again, some people just aren't meant to, okay? We have to accept that. Some people aren't meant to come through this thinning out of the herd. It's just the way it is, folks. It's life. We didn't create it. Our Father in Heaven created it. Who are we to question the Creator? You know, there's Scripture that talks about that. Does the pot condemn the potter? Does the pot, the clay pot, can it say something to the one with the fingers and hands that made it? Okay, you can't argue with the Father. Whether you understand it or not, that's none of your business. That's not your jurisdiction. We're here as servants of the King. We're here as His sons and daughters. We were created in His image, and we were given His Holy Spirit. That's why it's the white man's burden to bring law and order on this earth. No other race. And that's not meant in condemnation. That's just a simple fact. We were put in the garden, meaning this earth, to keep it, to tend it, which means keep it, to maintain its integrity. And that means the soil, the air, the water, everything on this earth is under our jurisdiction to do righteous works. And again, I love the quote of the Emperor Trajan to his Roman legions. Listen up, men at arms. The emperor said to his generals and his legionnaires, use this sword against my enemies as long as I issue righteous orders. If I issue unrighteous commands, use those swords against me. How many of our military leaders or political leaders said that to us? How many of them will take a stand that their orders are righteous? How many police chiefs? How many state police commandants? How many colonels, admirals, generals, how many politicians have you ever heard say, if I be found to be unrighteous, use your weapons on me? Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to share on this format and on this platform. We know it may not be there forever, and for now we use it every single day of our lives to promote the truth and honesty and justice and prosperity to the earth, because that's what we were put here for. And we pray that those that would understand this message would rise up, and like Randy and Gary and John and Henry, rise up and do what they can on a daily basis. It doesn't mean you got to fight the war all by ourselves. We understand that, Father, but every single one of us can do something every day of our lives. And every day of our lives, we should be doing this one very thing, and that is looking to you for our solutions, looking to you for the comfort of the Holy Spirit, looking to you to understand what is true and what is not, and looking to you for solutions and not our man-made institutions. Forgive us for this sin of idolatry, Father, because that's what it is. Forgive us for setting up government as if they're gods. Forgive us for looking at uniforms and badges and guns and helmets as if that means their righteous authority. Setting up idols amongst us while they do criminal acts all over this earth. We have stood by and allowed this to happen for far too long. Raise up that Ezekiel 37 army, Father Yahweh. Put an end to this nightmare that we live in. Walk with us and guide us, Father. Forgive us our stumblings and forgive us our shortcomings. Give us good, pure hearts. Give us a stiff backbone and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray. Hallelujah.